If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Hi, this is Tim Allen for Kevin.
Oh, Omar. Wait, you're at the studio. Never mind.
Don't feel bad, Peter. Hey, I know what'll cheer you up.
Nah, I don't think I'm in the mood.
Are you sure?
It's peanut butter jelly time, peanut butter jelly time, peanut butter jelly time. Way yeah, way yeah, way yeah, way yeah. Now there you go, there you go, there you go, there you go. Peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly.
Sorry, Brian, it's just not doing it today.
Do the peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat. Peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat.
And now,
let's do this right so we can all go home and do the wife or the girlfriend thing, all right? Let's suit up, ladies. Time to punch in.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31, and it is Tuesday, the 9th of January. Wow, I got in late. This is going to be bad.
You got in late.
Yeah.
What? Compared to usual?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I got to bed about 1:30.
Oh, you mean you got in late last night? That was not good.
I mean today.
I thought you meant this morning. Yeah, because it looked like about normal walking in about 15 seconds ago.
Yeah, it was normal today. Yeah.
Yeah.
This morning.
Why 1:30?
Oh, it was poker night last night.
Oh, how'd you do?
I came so close to winning a lot of money. I actually did win a lot of money. I actually won about $500.
Wow.
But yeah. I came close to winning about $3,500. It was all in one of those big, huge pots where everybody's in, everybody thinks they've got it. And I had a pair of queens in my hand, and the guy I was betting with had an ace seven or something like that, and he drew two aces.
Oh, man.
And beat me on the very last card. And there was probably at least half of everybody's pot was in the middle of it. It was just thousands of dollars.
God.
I was like,
Is that all you had was a pair of queens, or was there something else you could use?
No, that's all I had in the end, that's all I had. But when you start with a pair of queens,
right, you feel strong.
You're really, really doing well, because all he had was an ace. But then he drew two of them. I was like, oh, you're kidding. And then I picked up my stuff and went home. I hate to be a sore loser, but I got to get home and get to bed. So
Well, 1:30. I think you have a right to say that anyway.
At that point, just stay up. That's what I say.
Yeah, well, that's what you usually do. That's why. But you're on, you got the meth thing going. So you could pull that off. I don't know if you saw the fires last night on
Malibu. Yeah,
you guys see the coverage of that.
Yeah.
How many houses now? 8 or 10?
10. I heard
it was 8, maybe 10. Yeah. My favorite thing, though, Bean, and you would love this, too, is that it wasn't burning all night, but they wanted to cover it all night. Mm-hmm. So they split the screen in half, at least the station I was watching. We were flipping back and forth between the football game. They split the screen in half, and then they would say in tiny little letters at the top of the right-hand screen, earlier. And then that's where all the fire was. It just looked like it was horrible. And then on the left, it would say in tiny little letters, and then there's no flames whatsoever. You can see like a long shot of a car with some police lights going on it. That's all you could see. But for hours they did that earlier thing just so they could keep talking about the fire.
I guess they didn't want you to be watching something else and then go, hey, I wonder what's going on with the fire, and switch to another station. At least this way they feel like they got you covered.
I guess, but there's also nothing happening at that point.
Yeah, once it's done, it's kind
of
done.
They put the fire out, but they wanted to keep talking, so they just ran loop. They just had footage of the fire from earlier in the night. I love that.
They would rather cover nothing live than not cover anything at all.
Yeah.
Just they feel like, hey, we've got the technology, let's use it, you know?
No question.
And I guess they know what they're doing. I mean, I guess live works. I guess it's better to cover something boring live.
And then you start finding yourself, I don't watch the news as much as Bean by any stretch of the imagination.
No one does.
But you do find yourself yelling at them going, okay, you haven't had anything new in 3 hours.
Yes.
And you're just running footage of old fire. You could be running footage of any other old fire that was happening by now.
Well, it's like the coverage on the streets yesterday with the mysterious smell in Manhattan.
Yes.
I mean, they covered that for hours yesterday, talking to experts, guessing what it could be, interviewing people on the street, showing people walking down the street.
What did you smell?
Yeah, what's it smell like to you? What do you think it is? I mean, at some point, it seems like you could say, hey, we'll break in if we find out what it is, or if there's a break in the case or some sort of new information. But they don't care if there's new information. They just want to cover it live and full time.
Even if you're just scrolling in across the bottom, you can say, still keeping an eye out. We'll tell you if anything breaks or something like that.
Yeah, it is frustrating.
Yeah, but, you know, I went home and I was thinking yesterday, New York smells. Wow, what a surprise that is.
Yep, exactly.
How do you identify that smell? How bad must that smell have been?
That's a really good point.
That's a city that smells like pee.
That could have been the smell of Ohio State. That could have been what that was
could
last
have been.
Night.
Yep.
Anyway.
Could have been. It was.
Lisa, I know you're our college football expert, but everyone up to and including Petros yesterday said, well, it's not even a question that Ohio State's going to win. I mean,
well, and clearly. I know it was like 41-14, yeah. Something like that.
Yes.
Michigan destroyed them.
Florida, yeah.
I don't know, as you know, much about football, but it's sad to me to hear that now there's all this talk about how the team that won, well, they're not necessarily really the best because they didn't play. Who is it they didn't play?
It happens every year.
I USC. Know, but that's really sad.
USC was the team that won the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
And then some people were even saying Boise State should
That's what I heard. Boise State.
Because they were undefeated, right?
Right.
So that happens every year.
Why the hell don't they change the
stupid system? Because they make too much money this way, I think. I think that's just my theory,
100%
right?
100% the reason.
They're like, every single bowl makes them millions.
It's really sad because whoever comes out number one, it's always in question.
But why couldn't they? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Why couldn't they make all that same money on all those same bowls and then have one more game where whoever won last night's game plays whoever wins the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, I guess. But
they still make all that money plus one more.
That's what they did with the BCS Championship Bowl was they finally at least had number one start playing number two.
The NCAA votes on what the BCS can do, but the BCS and the NCAA are two totally separate organizations. And the BCS gathers up all this money for a lot of them. That's why you see 40, 50 bowls. Because even these smaller schools now are getting $1 million, $850,000 to show up at these bowls. And if they can keep pumping that kind of money back into the NCAA, the NCAA is never going to want to change this system. You know?
Right. Well, it seems sad.
And it also helps them cover the minimum payment that they pay their players since they're making so much money on their programs. You know, they give them a check every month for 50
they don't
cents.
They don't get a penny. They don't even get the 50 cents a month that Lisa sends the
Mexican
kids.
No. They'd be better off moving to South America.
So they would get more money if they moved to South America and be Mexican.
Mexican, yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was a
blowout. Well, the Gators won. It was a blowout. And I didn't know this until this morning, but it's the first time in NCAA Division I history that the same school has had the champion football and the champion basketball team in the same year. So they're having a party down there, man. They're having a good year down there.
There are certain schools that, and by the way, Ohio State's one of them, that spends a lot of money on their athletics programs. Way more than most schools.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, Florida's the national champion now, and number two is up to interpretation. Everybody can take your own guess. Let's talk about today's Kevin Amigo, shall we?
Okay.
It is Monday, the 8th of January.
No, Tuesday. Tonight.
Oh, shoot, I'm looking at the wrong people. Sorry. I already did this once, too, which is funny because
the 10th.
It's Tuesday, the 9th of January. And
we were
just talking about that smell in New York City.
Yeah.
Well, we have somebody who's going to come on the air and explain to us exactly what that is.
Oh, really?
Yes. No? I don't think so. I don't think that's what she's going to say. But we have an expert. We have an expert who's going to explain exactly why yesterday people were smelling some kind of gas in New York City.
Okay.
Her name is Nancy Leader. All right. Also on today's show.
Zeta Talk, the crazy lady with the puppy lake, that lady?
What?
What do you mean crazy?
How did you get
She's
her
right
on
our
schedule?
Listen, I've been trying to get her on for
I know. And
ever.
We've been blocking you.
I know. Well, she's got the tie-in. She knows what the smell was.
Was it an earth burp? Is that what she said?
An earth burp. She says it was an earth burp.
Wow.
That's spectacular. Is an earth burp bad? I mean, is that something?
She says it's the earth being pulled apart beneath us is what
everything
it is.
Everything she says is bad.
Should we all be like running for the hills, though, in the earth burps?
Yes, and killing our animals.
Okay. Well, we better find out.
All right. We'll ask her today. Also on the show today, we have, I don't know if you read this, but Britney Spears has written a letter of apology to her fans.
About her recent behavior?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah. So she does that. From time to time, she puts stuff up on her website. Sometimes it's poetry. It's always spectacularly stupid, though. So we'll get into that a little bit later on today. Ralph did a story yesterday about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and how they are putting Van Halen in this year. And they're putting Diamond Dave, David Lee Roth, and Sammy Hagar both in. what kind of BS is that? The band has two lead singers, one of them wildly successful, all the hits.
Yeah.
Biggest, you know, band in the world at the time. And then there's, you know, Sammy Hagar.
Well, they were successful in that incarnation, but in retrospect, it was a mistake for us to buy those records because yep. they suck and nobody likes them.
Would they have been successful if Diamond Dave hadn't come first and made the band a household name and with all those hits? I doubt it.
Yeah. I doubt it, too.
I don't think they would have broken through. Also on today's show, we're going to talk about sex bribes. We took a call yesterday at the very last thing in the show, and the guy said he was a repo guy, and he was going to steal this girl's car, walked up to the door, knocked on the door, and said, "Hey, I'm here to take your car." She said, "Can we work out a little trade?" And he said, "Yeah." So we're going to talk about that today, because you know that happens, in my mind, all the time.
It probably does.
Lisa, you haven't had to pay your mortgage in years. You just don't know it. For example.
Also on today's show, I don't know if you heard, but we got a tip yesterday about the CHP website and the unbelievable song that they have. They have a theme song for the California Highway Patrol.
I had no idea.
We're not talking about a TV show or anything else, but we are talking about the theme that goes a little something like this.
A star of gold upon the chest. Wearing the badge of the CHP.
That's like, that may be the best song I've ever heard.
I think I have to put my hand on my heart, right?
Yeah, he's so earnest. He's so just proud.
Doesn't he sound like Jim Nabors a little bit?
He does.
Yeah, he does sort of.
Got that sound.
But is the point of the theme to make people want to join the CHP or to have more respect for the CHP, to admire them, to appreciate them?
All
what
of
are
the
they
above?
Trying to do?
Yeah,
I
think imagine everything. Yeah.
All of the above.
Well, it's no theme from Cops, man. They got that way beat.
Yeah, true. I would like to talk, though, however, to CHP officers today when we play it and find out, do they know it exists, A? Do they have to all get up and sing it, you know, in advance? I mean, what's the story with this thing?
Maybe it plays every time they open their car door.
And then stops immediately as it closes.
Yeah.
I like it. Also on the show today, we're going to check in with Stephen Hawking and find out how his birthday celebration was.
Oh, I bet he was going off.
And we're going to talk to our old friend Dr. Mo, who is calling into question Lindsay Lohan's story about going and getting an appendectomy. He says, no way. No way. She's got to be lying.
Wow.
So. And it also doesn't add up for a bunch of our listeners who have had an appendectomy, who really aren't up and walking around and going to clubs within 48 hours. Yeah, apparently it's a little more serious surgery than that. So what's Lindsay hiding? Dr. Mo may have some insight into that.
Talk to him in a half hour. Plus, don't forget K-Rock's World Tour 2007, destination number 2. We mentioned it yesterday, 30 Seconds to Mars in Montreal. And you can get on the standby boarding list by winning tickets to see them and the Used and Senses Fail and Seosin at the Taste of Chaos Tour. And Friday morning, we're going to do the grand prize drawing. So keep listening for your chance to qualify for that. We're going to take a quick break and come back with Ralph's Showbiz Beat next.
Tuesday morning, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph. What's going on?
Well, today we celebrate the first showing of an X-rated film ever in history.
Today? It's never been done before?
On this day in 1951, the film La Vie Commence Demain, a French film, was shown in London. Translated means life begins tomorrow, but technically means some girl gets on her knees. They were going to call it Teenage Cheerleading Sex Pots on Motorcycles at the Nudie Leather Beach Bar Party, but they couldn't fit it on the marquee, so they put it up in French. But
I have a clip if you would like that.
Sure.
F me, F me, F me. F me, F me, F me.
Doesn't sound like French at all.
No.
Here's another reason it's going to be Orlando Bloom. He was at a London nightclub recently, and someone bought him a 6-liter bottle of Cristal champagne.
Mm.
6 liters?
That's a big bottle.
Cristal is the really pricey stuff, right?
Yeah. It was reportedly worth about $64,000.
No.
Wow.
Yeah, send this over to Orlando, will you? The $64,000 bottle of champagne.
He's not that good an actor.
He's great in bed, Lisa.
I don't think that's why they gave it to him.
That's all that matters. Yeah, that'd be nice to have someone send you over a round of that.
Was it a woman or an older gay man?
No word.
Yeah, one of the two.
No word. Courtney Love has posted on her website her 53 New Year's resolutions.
53?
Yes. Number 1 through 50 is stop doing drugs. 51 is Stop going to nightclubs with 19-year-olds. 52 is not allow myself to be a doormat in a relationship ever, ever again. I find that hard to believe that she's ever a doormat in a relationship.
Yeah.
And the last one is not to have plastic surgery again until I really need it in my 60s.
Okay.
Trust me, go ahead and get some. Feel free to break that one.
In retrospect, was it the most shocking celebrity hookup of all time, Courtney Love and Edward Norton?
Yeah,
that was surprising. The fact that they were together, and for a while, too, is just, I'll never get my head around that.
Genius, freaking actor, bright guy.
Yep.
Courtney Love.
Yes.
On that side of the equation. Ah, this is a great story. Dave Navarro is coming out with his own line of cosmetics for men.
Okay.
Wow.
The line is, for men who want to be in touch with their feminine side.
Mike. Doesn't surprise me. Wears makeup, right?
Yeah. This is the stuff he uses daily, Lisa. Yeah. Foundation, eyeliner, mascara, lip liner, lip balm, self-tanner, moisturizer, and an aftershave.
Wow.
He's a homo.
That is not.
Psycho Mike is already in line, I'm sure, for all this.
Oh, yeah. So excited.
He'll also have a signature scent, he said. He's going to have his own aftershave / cologne / perfume that smells like, I don't know. Carmen Electra, I hope.
Hopefully.
Yeah, me too. How much earlier is Mike going to have to start getting up when those products become available just to use everything before he comes to work in the morning?
You have to get up before he goes to sleep in order to get ready for work.
6 hours.
Former Spice Girl Melanie B has had to call the Beverly Hills cops over a incident in her home revolving around the fictional Beverly Hills cop, Eddie Murphy. Apparently, the British newspaper The London Sun says that a group of his fans have taken up residence outside her Southern California home to harass her because of the entanglements of their relationship breaking up.
Thing?
Yes. And now she feels forced to move, but she keeps calling the cops, asking these rabid Eddie Murphy fans to get off her premises.
Oh, my God, that's weird.
They're harassing her because she says bad things about him, and he says bad things about her, but they're taking his side. First of all, the fact that there's Eddie Murphy fans.
Yeah.
This day and age that are motivated enough to go to her house is surprising to me, but that seems dumb.
It does.
Yeah, that's really
weird. Since Eddie Murphy. Did you ever see Pluto Nash, people? Go home. And the greatest gay icon of all time was recently decided on an online poll.
Has to be Liberace.
Nope.
Or not.
Nope.
Ooh, good one.
Cher.
Oscar Wilde.
Nope.
Oscar Wilde.
Psycho Mike won the top honors. No, actually, Kylie Minogue.
She has a huge gay following.
Huge gay following. Yeah. And apparently, according to 5,000 gay men and women for the survey, she is the number one gay icon of all time. I think the lesbian vote pushed her over the top, quite frankly, because they asked gay men and lesbian women.
Yeah.
And both sexes dig her the most.
So Kylie, more gay-friendly than Madonna, though. Isn't Madonna, that's the poster child right there, you think?
At one time, Bean, but I think that has passed her by. She was only number 7 out of the top 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dolly Parton was number 2.
What?
Followed by ABBA at number 3, Judy Garland at number 4, and Marilyn Monroe at number 5. But Kylie beats them all.
Oscar Wilde was a good guess, though.
It was, Bean. If this was the 1800s, I would say you were spot on. But sadly, we're now in the 21st century.
Yeah.
Oscar doesn't have quite the following he did back in London at the turn
of the
century.
He's not on the lips of every teenager?
Not so much. No. And Britney Spears, you guys were talking about earlier her letter of apology that she posted on her website.
Right.
Apparently, she's had a lot of trouble recently. You know, they were threatening to take away her salary for her appearance on New Year's Eve at Club Pure in Vegas because she fell asleep.
Right, sure.
And the club thought that reflected poorly on the quality of the party by having its host fall asleep during it.
It doesn't say we're partying till dawn, does
it? Not so much. But apparently she will get paid off for that. However, In Touch magazine reported that people are speculating, once again, rumors about her love life, given the fact that she was seen in Arizona over the weekend going at it with Matt Leinart in Scottsdale.
Really?
He, of course, quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals. And according to the magazine, the couple eventually went into the bathroom together.
Yeah.
Really? So this could break her and Paris up, couldn't it?
It's either...
Well, that's right. He was dating Paris, wasn't he?
Right.
Yeah. He's not smart.
No.
He's not focused on football maybe as much as he should be if you look at their record.
Well, he can focus all he wants now.
Yeah, he doesn't really need to be right this moment.
It's the offseason, so he can please enjoy. And speaking of Paris Hilton, she has announced that she is looking for more serious acting roles than she's previously had.
Yes.
She told Hello Magazine, "I'm serious about acting." Despite the fact their two movies to date have been House of Wax and The Hottie and The Naughty.
I haven't even heard of that one.
I think it's coming directly to DVD.
That's a new one, yeah.
And she also appears in Bottoms Up with Jason Mewes of Jay and Silent Bob in a direct-to-DVD release as well.
Oh, wow.
But Paris says those roles are not important because she's now ready, should a legitimate producer come knocking. She's been reading a book called The Power of the Actor.
Right.
I kid you not. And she says this book is changing her life.
I've been reading a book, and I think I'm ready.
Now she's ready to act.
That's how you learn to act, Ralph, is by reading a book. Everyone knows that.
Well, it is the simplest way. Just pick up a book and read it, and then you're ready to be an actor in the movies.
I gotta tell you, I'm even questioning that she read a book.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, when she says that, she's looking at pictures.
I'm sorry, I misread. I read the title of a book, she said.
Okay.
The Power of the Actor. She managed to work out the five words on the cover. Today's Tuesday. That means new DVDs are in stores today. Crank is available on DVD. If you didn't catch this movie in the theaters, I recommend it highly.
So good.
You got Jason Statham and my girlfriend Amy Smart, so you can check that out. The Illusionist, also available today on DVD. If you want to check that out.
No, I want to see that.
Extras, Season 1. This is the season, the series, rather, that Ricky Gervais did after he did The Office, the original British version of The Office.
And it's coming back,
it's
finally.
Really Sunday. A funny
yeah.
show.
Yes. Very funny on HBO here in the States. If you missed the first season, I recommend picking up the DVDs because he's hysterical. And in terms of kids' DVDs, a pup named Scooby-Doo, Scooby-Doo the Early Years, is available. Volume 5 of that series available. And Bean, I believe you had some sad news about Scooby-Doo. Is that true?
I don't know his name. I thought you might. He's the Japanese guy who created Scooby-Doo, and Muttley died in his early 80s, it was announced today. He also went on to draw for the Flintstones and some of the other Hanna-Barbera cartoons after Scooby-Doo. But, I mean, that's quite a legacy, leaving that cartoon behind.
Yeah. No one will be able to draw Scooby-Doo after he's gone. That intricate design. Who
well,
could come up with that?
He created it, though. Created the character.
Some Japanese dude created Scooby-Doo?
Hey. Yeah.
I don't buy it.
He was hungry.
Okay.
He was hungry, Psycho Mike said. See?
He's trying to order food in a restaurant.
See? Today's celebrity birthdays. Jimmy Page, legendary guitarist for Led Zeppelin, is 63 years old today. David Johansen. Maybe you know him better as Buster Poindexter. Maybe you know him as the lead singer for the New York Dolls. He is 57 years old today. Pretty good actor, too. Remember in Scrooged with Bill Murray? He was the taxi driver. He was the ghost of Christmas Past in that movie. Eric Erlandson, the guitarist for Hole, is 44 years old today. J.K. Simmons, from Oz and played J. Jonah Jameson in the Spider-Man movies. He's 52 years old today. And Dave Matthews, singer-songwriter, turns 40. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Tickets are on sale now for this Taste of Chaos tour coming to the Long Beach Arena on February the 22nd. That's the great lineup, by the way, with 30 Seconds to Mars and Seosin and all those other bands. You can get tickets for those all this week on K-Rock. We're giving them away, and every time you do, you're eligible for the grand prize drawing we do Friday for destination number 2 for K-Rock's World Tour 2007. It's 30 Seconds to Mars in Montreal, Canada, a city that Kevin and I broadcast live from one time. Beautiful, beautiful place if you've never been before. You'll have a terrific time.
Yeah, I was pretty sure we were very close to death that time, by the way. Very close.
It wasn't ideal timing to go as Kings fans when the Kings were playing the Canadiens in the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Maybe another time visiting would have been smarter.
It was 93, and it was the night, the game that they won it all.
Well, yes. They don't really care that much about hockey.
But at
though.
Least my partner Bean had my back, and that's what's good. Because I was wearing a Kings jersey. He's not a monstrous hockey fan, but I am, and I was wearing a Kings jersey. And he would walk around and point at me and say, "Kings fan right here, Kings fan."
Nice.
People start shoving me, and then as they drink, you get in the second period, they start drinking more. And then the talk, they're getting much closer to your face when they talk, and then they're spitting all over you. And then, literally, I feared for my life.
Oh my
by the time
God.
We got near the end of the game, when it was apparent that the Montreal was going to win, then they were just looking for people to stab. I mean, clearly it was out of control at that point.
Turning over cars, lighting them on fire, breaking windows. Bean and I were walking back to our hotel, going, "We won! Woo!"
But you had your jersey on.
No, God, no.
Oh, that was long gone.
I bought another shirt. I had to.
You threw your jersey away?
Yeah, and I didn't throw
it
away.
He ate it. At least he swallowed it.
And I'm not that guy. I'm the guy who loves to wear the opposing jersey. But literally, I thought I was going to die.
You might have.
It was really bizarre. So it's anyway, that's good times right there. Mm-hmm. So let's bring on an old friend of the show. He calls us from time to time. He's our expert when it comes to health issues. Dr. Mo, good morning.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hey, we understand you had a terrible job this morning. Were you really inside some old lady's colon a few minutes ago, Dr. Mo?
Yeah.
Oh. Entirely? You crawled in there?
Dr. Bo, I know you love medicine and all, and it's your passion, but how do you wake up in the morning and go, yes, a senior citizen's colon, that's where I'm headed in 30 minutes. How does that get you out of bed in the morning?
Oh, it's so much more worse than that, because I didn't wake up that way. Actually, that's where I've been all night.
Oh, so it's way worse than that.
Really?
Way worse. Yeah, it sort of popped, and I sort of had to, like...
Wow.
Dude, that's where you say to the family, you say, I'm sorry, Mom's going to Puppy Lake. There's nothing I can do.
No, did you fall asleep in there?
No. She was great.
How does a colon pop?
It got so distended that it actually started to stretch. And
why do you ask this, Lisa?
I'm just curious.
It's a colon. Like, when it pops, it's all
too
bad.
Too many beans.
There's
or what?
No good answer to that question.
Was she putting stuff up there, Dr. Mo? Is that why?
I can't get that.
All right.
Okay. All right. Well, here's the reason we had you on. And actually, you wrote to us after the TMZ.com reports came out about Lindsay Lohan and the curious timeline of this appendectomy. And before we talk about that specifically, here's an email from a KROQ listener I got yesterday. Lana writes in, I heard about Lindsay Lohan being released from the hospital less than a day after she had her appendix removed. Well, I had mine removed a few years ago. Not only was I in the hospital for 6 days, I couldn't move or walk for the first four. My sister had hers removed a few years ago also. She was in the hospital for 5 days. How the hell is it possible she was able to walk out of there the next day if she really had an appendectomy? Something fishy is going on, and I'm not just talking about her fire crotch. Sincerely, Dr. Mo, what do you say to that?
Well, I was doing a trauma surgery shift over in Long Beach over the weekend, so I was there for 48 hours, and I was surfing online, and I checked out the TMZ thing, and the first thing that I thought was kind of weird was it said that Lindsay Lohan was admitted and blah, 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 and they took out her appendix as a precaution.
Right.
That's a load of crap.
That's what her publicist said. That was their official statement, right?
You don't take out an appendix as a precaution. That's malpractice.
But Dr. Mo, just in case, I mean, isn't that
safe? She's famous, you know, they want to make sure she's going to be okay.
Dr. Mo, why don't you, if somebody's having a lot of pain and it could be the appendix, for those of us that aren't surgeons, why wouldn't you do that?
A couple of reasons. One is studies have proven that the complication rate of taking out a negative appendix is higher than the fact of anybody ever actually getting appendicitis. So you don't fix what ain't broke.
Okay.
The other thing is it's not like rocket science. If you're having appendicitis, you freaking have appendicitis. It's not like, gee, she's sick and that doesn't... No, there's lots of tests that you can do to say, oh, yeah, she's got appendicitis, let's take the...
That's one of the things that you know for sure.
You don't have to guess.
Well, no, especially if you're looking at the dang thing. I mean, you don't look at it and say, it looks a little, I don't know, angry. I'll just take it out.
So then, Lindsay, tell us about the time of the hospital stay. It was like 1 day, right?
Well, and that's the other unusual thing, is that sort of whole, like, precaution thing sort of piqued my interest. And then I saw that, you know, she had left and she was being assaulted by paparazzi and blah, blah, blah. So I clicked on TMZ.com and I watched a little video and she's walking out of the hospital and the paparazzi come up to her and she's like, come on, guys, it's New Year's Eve. So the first thing I'm thinking of is, you can't walk out of a hospital. You have to be escorted.
Yeah, they never let you. And don't they put you in a wheelchair?
They have to put you in a wheelchair. I mean, I had surgery myself a year ago, and it was just a little throat surgery. I had to spend the night, but they wouldn't even let me walk out of the hospital.
But I thought the wheelchair was only to the doors, and then you can get up once you get past the doors of the hospital, no?
Well, if you look at the video, she must have got a running start from the door right out of the wheelchair. And the other thing is they come up and take her picture, and she's like, come on, guys, it's New Year's. And now, if I had just been operated on, and I'll get to that in a second, but if I had just been operated on, the first thing I'm going to say is, come on, guys, it's New Year's. You're going to say, come on, I just had surgery. Yeah. I'm getting out of a hospital.
Give me a little privacy.
It sounded weird. And then the other thing is, I think your reader, the person that wrote in about the email is correct, is that let's say she had her appendix taken out the least invasive method.
Right.
Meaning, they put a camera in through her belly button, looked around and said, oh, yeah, it's her appendix. They popped in two other little teeny tiny holes and took the appendix out. That's called the laparoscopic method. Even in that case, there's no way in hell she's up and running around. And what I wrote to you in my email is, was she, like, admitted for, like, exhaustion?
We don't know. I mean,
remember, like a
year ago? Oh, yeah, before. She has been, yes. Yeah.
I mean, so this isn't exactly, like, the toughest person. This isn't, like, Survivor.
Right.
You know, this... She's a wimp.
Yeah.
So there's no way she's going to be bouncing around after major surgery. So
what do you consider normal recovery time if you do have appendicitis? How long would it take you to be up and around?
Most of my patients are at least in the hospital up and walking around a day or two afterwards, and they can go home anywhere from, 2 to 6 days, depending if it's ruptured, depending on how big they are or how small they are. But I'm trying to give her the benefit of the doubt. Even if she had it laparoscopically, which would be the least invasive method possible.
Right, right.
I don't think so.
All right, so she leaves, she walks out, she tells the photographers to, it's the new year. And what is it that we would guess it would be? Because it has to be something she wants to cover up, obviously. Or she would have just said,
Dr. Mo, she couldn't have had any procedure because whatever she had done, she would still have to be wheeled out.
I agree with you. And the other thing I was trying to look at is there was no tape or bandages on her hands or arms where the normally IVs
for an IV,
done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was just, I don't know, it just seemed so, false.
If you go in for some sort of psychiatric thing, do they still have to wheel you out?
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. I don't know, but also, there have to be some kind of medical issues that you can go in and walk out, aren't there?
I'm sure we can find something, but the other thing is if you sign out against medical advice, you can also walk out of the hospital. I mean, if you just say, listen, I'm done here.
Mm.
And they can say, don't do it, and you say, I'm going to do it anyway.
Exactly right. That happens from time to time as well. So, I mean, I just don't know. It smelled wrong to me. No,
it just doesn't add up at any, by
if you're
any stretch.
Suggesting that Lindsay's publicist did not tell the truth on a story related to their client, I'm going to have to hang up on you right now, Dr. Moore. I'm sorry. We will not tolerate that kind of talk on the show.
See, I don't care about the appendectomy. I don't care whether it was or wasn't, but the fact that it wasn't, not the fact, but the our guess that it wasn't is, it's kind of interesting. You say, okay, well then, wait a minute, what's she hiding?
What was it?
That is interesting to me because she doesn't want people to know why she was there in the first place.
Right.
No, it's just, I don't know. I'm glad I'm not the only one that doesn't think it's wrong and that just wasn't hallucinating.
Maybe she was getting lipo. She's getting really fat.
She's a twig, Kevin.
Oh, right.
She weighs
80
pounds.
That's right.
Although, she sure goes to the hospital a lot for somebody who's 20, doesn't she, Dr. Rowe? She sure seems to have a lot of problems, a lot of issues.
That was kind of my point. This isn't like the toughest person on the planet.
Right.
I've always kind of laughed when these celebrities get admitted for exhaustion.
Right.
It's like, none of us work that hard. And, every time we're tired, people say just take a nap.
Take a nap.
Just laid out. Right?
Or you drink some water.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like that would help a little bit. What if she had some kind of, not an overdose, but what if she drank too much or something like that where she had to go in and kind of get fluids or whatever? I don't know.
You have a point there, but I'd like to be the devil's advocate. I just kind of want to be the nice guy as well. Maybe something serious happened with somebody else and she was visiting in the hospital. Or maybe there's something that we don't know about.
But she stayed the night, right?
See, you're the nice guy, but we're not. If you had to guess, let's say, for example, that you absolutely positively, that we could rule it out in some way. What would you guess she was there for? Because there has to be a limited number of things. Obviously, just a guess.
All right. Being bluntly honest, maybe that she had something gynecologic done. And she could have had a small surgery.
So it's chick stuff.
It could have been chick.
And that would be why she wouldn't want to tell people.
Right.
But
yeah, because you got the fire crotch. You don't really want to talk about that.
People just don't walk. I don't know. I just can't imagine she had anything that serious done that she's bouncing around a day after.
Yeah. Maybe Bean's right. Maybe it's the fire crotch. Maybe they just
fire crotch.
Put it out.
I mean, you saw on the TV, you saw Malibu on the TV last night. That's what it's like in Lindsay's pants all the time. So you can imagine containment is a real issue from time to time. So
I'm only a general surgeon. I'm not an OBGYN.
I hear you.
I understand. All right, Dr. Mo. Well, we appreciated that you emailed on us and that you're willing to come on. And mail us a piece of that colon when you're done with the old lady, all right?
Anything for you guys.
All right. Thanks a lot, Doc.
Thank you, buddy.
So K-Rock's Kevin stumbled in here about 20 seconds before the start of the show this morning, and he said, oh, late night last night. And at least I didn't even put two and two together, but of course it was a late night for Kevin last night. He was at Stephen Hawking's birthday party.
Yeah. Oh, you are so lucky.
I'm not allowed to talk about it, but that's why I didn't bring it up. But.
Oh, I see. I didn't realize it was a mystery guest list. Well,
he needs people to challenge him, B. You know what I'm saying?
He gets tired of talking to dumb people all the time, so every once in a while a smart guy needs to come in and throw something at him, right?
Exactly.
I got you. Well, Stephen Hawking, of course, the famous astrophysicist who wrote The Brief History of Time, a book that has sold over 10 million copies, and he's a miracle, and he knows how to party. We thought, hey, we haven't checked in with him in a while. Yesterday was his birthday. Let's find out how he's recovering this morning. Good morning, Dr. Hawking.
Go, 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 go,
Hello, Professor?
Go Sean. It's Shiver.
Hello? Professor?
Hello.
What's going on? Why are we listening to 50 Cent? We're calling to talk to you.
Yo, yo, yo. Watch Cracka lacking, my Nergos.
Well, Professor,
yo, turn down the music.
There you go. That's a good idea. Is the party still going on from last night, Professor?
Oh, yeah. We are still partying for my birthday.
You're what? You're 65 now?
That's right. I had an amazing party last night.
How does the smartest man in the world party? How do you celebrate the birthday?
Currently, we are here in Las Vegas.
Oh, you went to Vegas. Okay.
Man, did we get wasted. We were partying with Larry Flint, James Brady, and the cast of Murder Ball.
Is that right?
No. Wow, what a group.
Me and my homies. We call ourselves the Wheel Deal. We were rolling on spinners.
You have spinners on your wheelchair.
Larry Flint has chrome dubs.
Oh, very impressive.
James Brady's lowered with hydros. We were hitting switches all the way down the strip.
Is that
wow.
right?
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
How about
that? Yeah.
Professor,
yeah.
How do you, now that you're single, if I remember the news from last year, you separated from your wife. Now that you're single and celebrating your birthday in Las Vegas, I would imagine that the chicks were free-flowing, right?
We were throwing back some Crevassier and Coke at the Playboy Club at the Palms.
Is that right? Wow, who picked you out to be that kind of a playboy?
Then we decided to roll to Sapphire Strip Club.
Sure.
To check out the shorties. I was with a sweet boo named Candy.
A sweet boo named Candy.
I was ready to get all up in her guts.
Oh, come on.
Until some chump got up in my spokes, and I had to give him a beat down.
Now, please help me out with this, and I mean no disrespect, Professor. How are you able to beat someone down? I thought you could just move your eyes. That's about it.
Well, I gave him a mean look.
Oh, I see. That's considered a beat down?
He ran with his tail between his legs.
Okay.
Yo.
Now, again, forgive the insensitivity, but things work down there when you go to a strip club?
You mean my wheels?
Not exactly. I mean, you know.
Oh, my wang dangle.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you kidding me? I use that as a kickstand for my wheelchair. I'm rocking hard pipe.
Is that right?
Wow.
Rocking hard pipe. I could have never guessed.
I call it my telescope of love. Would you like to see the universe?
Not really. No, thank you, though. No.
Take a look through this.
Not interested. Not interested. Thank you.
Don't make me F you up.
Well, it sounds like quite a party, Stephen. I'm glad. How long is it going to go on? Do you have any idea?
Are you drunk now?
Probably, yes.
I thought my party was good. Yours sounds even better.
Okay. Well, have a great day. Thank you.
We have not checked into the email bag in a few days. Maybe this year. Maybe for 2007 we haven't. But you can write to any of us. All of our email addresses are up at krock.com. We got a bunch of great ones on a bunch of great topics. Hey, Bean, I despise the people who feel the need to paint some stupid graffiti on other people's properties. It's so effing stupid and repugnant. I have a fantasy about looking for them one night and shooting off their hand with the can of paint still in it. I guess that's just the doc in me, though. With that said, a little creativity would go a long way in the public's view of taggers if they use some humor in their need to deface. Along the 215, for instance, they have a billboard advertising home builders with one particular having a picture of Martha Effing Stewart as a come-on. She's wearing a black sweater. A real Van Gogh of the graffiti world could paint some white stripes on that sweater and give all of us commuters a good laugh. For the 909ers, see, she was in prison, and adding white stripes would resemble her prison attire. Just a thought. Just kidding. Chuck in the 909. That's a fantastic idea. I challenge somebody to get that done today.
You need to do it with more comedy. I like it. Thank you from the depths of my soul. This one begins. We were talking last week about people who travel and how they're just the most thoughtless people in the world. They don't consider anybody else when they're going through the security. They don't consider anybody else when they go to pick up their luggage at the carousel. Dear Kevin, your segment this morning about travelers behaving as if they never traveled before made me want to weep with joy. Honestly, I don't understand how people can be so self-centered and or oblivious to the rest of the world. My husband and I spent quality time at the airport over the holidays, and we would always have our shoes in hand, jackets off, and laptops out of the bag way before we ever got to the conveyor belt. Boy, were we in the minority. One dimwit in particular held up the security line for 20 minutes while he was continuously sent back through the detector because of various items he forgot to remove. Everything from his shoes to jewelry to a watch to his BlackBerry to whatever else you could think of.
Oh, my God.
And then she goes on and on about this guy and how long it took for him to get through the security while everybody waits behind him and makes death threats.
They should just arrest him.
Just say, you know what? You can't fly. You get two turns to get through the security, then you're out.
Go back. You know what? It would be a great idea, Lisa. You're absolutely right. Put him on the no-fly zone if he can't make it through the metal detector in two tries. That's it. I'm sorry, so you're no longer allowed to fly.
I
love
that.
Thanks again, Jennifer. Thank you, Jennifer, for the email.
A lot of terrific emails on the topic we had on this show yesterday about unusual fears that people have. And it was, Kevin, were you just amazed at some of the stuff people wrote about?
Yes.
I mean, there are people out there. Here's April, for instance. I heard someone mention that Dave is scared of cotton. Well, cotton doesn't bother me, but I can't stand aluminum foil. The sound and the touch hurts my teeth and sends a sharp pain down my back. It's not a joke. It's so bad I have to have my boyfriend help me when I need foil for cooking or when we go out to eat and the food is wrapped in foil. He has to unwrap it for me, and he knows he has to do it as quietly as possible or I will flip out. So that's aluminum foil. Here's one. I have a fear of carpool lanes. Not just carpool lanes, though, being in any lane on the freeway that's not the slow lane in heavy traffic. My fear is that I'm going to get sick and need to pull off the shoulder, so I'm panicked if I'm in the carpool lane that I'll make myself sick, and then I have to get over as soon as possible. As soon as I get out of the carpool lane, I feel better. Yeah, I know. I'm screwed up, says Josh.
That is bizarre.
How much does Josh get sick?
Well, I think he just starts thinking about, oh, my God, look where I am in this traffic. It's going to be hard for me to get over if I need to vomit. And then that brings on the vomit reflex, I think, is what's happening.
Josh, stop doing that.
Couple more. Sasha says, I have a fear of restrooms. My fear, however, is that when I'm using it, is that someone will be watching through a vent in the ceilings. I always am looking up and expecting to see eyes looking back at me. I also only use handicap bathrooms, but my real fear about restrooms is when I'm about to walk into the stall, I have a fear that someone is going to be lying dead on the seat and I'll be the one to discover it. Is that weird?
Yes, that's weird.
Only yes.
And my favorite on this topic, dear Kevin DeBean, I am deathly afraid of people from the Renaissance Fair. When I see them, I immediately stiffen and become extremely uncomfortable. I hate those velvet-covered jousting freaks, Caitlin from Santa Monica. Well, we're with you on that, Caitlin.
Velvet-covered, what was it?
Jousting
freaks. Yeah. Opening wiener rows. All right, thanks for getting me laid, this email begins. Dear Kevin DeBean, I just moved to Pullman, Washington from Fullerton, California. I've been a Kevin DeBean listener for the past 7 years and was bummed to leave the show behind. So far, the 2 days that I have been in Pullman have ruled. WSU men's basketball smoked ASU by 20. I got drunk before the game, met a young lady, and can attribute getting laid to your show. Turns out she's also from Southern California and brought up how much she missed the ocean, the sun, and the Kevin and Bean show. We hit it off, and I broke in the new pad.
How about that?
Wow.
Jason, how about that?
That Pullman, by the way, is a city you've never heard of. It's where WSU is. What a party town.
Clearly.
Oh, it's fun. Yeah.
Is that why they named it Pullman?
Here's one on Viggo Mortensen's tale. Now, of course, we found out that Stryker, who is a DJ here at K-Rock, has a tale. And then we were tipped off to the fact that Viggo Mortensen has a tale. And here's another email on that topic from K-Rock listener Ray. Hey, guys, I just finished watching The History of Violence. And about 3/4 of the way in, Viggo is arguing with his hot wife. They start having angry sex on the stairway. Yeah, his milky white ass is in your face. But if you hit pause or the slow button, bam, there it is. You'll see that Viggo Mortensen has a tail. It is small, but you can see it. By the way, even though you see it, don't stop watching the movie at that point, because at the next scene, his hot wife comes out of the shower barely wearing a bathrobe. I can't say that part. Anyway, that's Ray. So History of Violence, which is on the satellite and on the cable right now, worth checking out just to see Taylor.
Here's what's going to happen. It's going to be like Paris Hilton with her little yappy dog. You know, it's going to catch on, and now having a tail is going to be the cool thing. And we're out. Every once in a while, we get an email from Bean's wife. Not very often, because he tries to restrict her internet usage.
Oh, no, she didn't.
But this was sent to us by Bean's wife, and this is how it goes. This is the actual conversation that Bean and I had in bed tonight. I got up specially and wrote it down so you could all share in the magic.
I don't know that she needs to be sharing this.
See, number one, I always thought she slept in another room.
She does. Bean, does Viggo Mortensen have a tail? Donna,
what?
Bean. Because there's this scene in A History of Violence where apparently he's got his pants off and you can see that his coccyx is enlarged. Donna, I don't know, sweet pea. Viggo's been naked in a lot of movies and I've never noticed a tail. Bean, I want one. Donna, you want one what? Bean, I want a tail. Donna, you with the bad back and difficulty sitting and walking, you want a tail? Don't you think it would hurt to sit on? Bean, monkeys and dogs have tails. It doesn't hurt when they sit. Donna, monkeys and dogs have tails that curl up so they can sit flat. An elongated coccyx seems like a bone that would just stick out and hurt when you sat on it. Bean, then I'm going to get one that curls up. Donna, you just don't go out and get a tail, Bean. Bean, but if I wish for it hard enough, maybe I'll grow one. You know, like when I wish for the aliens to abduct me. At that point, I remained silent, waited for him to drift off to sleep, checked to make sure that he wasn't hiding any cutlery or other sharp objects in his jammies, and ran to collect the children and go stay with my mother. Oh. Not really, but come on, it's only January 4th. Don't I at least get a tiny break at the beginning of the year before these kinds of shenanigans start up again at my house? I'm just saying, I've been married to Bean for a long time. I've paid my dues. Hello, Sherilyn Finn, Tyra Banks, Teletubbies, Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, Jetpacks, Pablo Cruz. When do I get a get out of jail free card?
Wow, I always thought Donna was kind of somehow on board with all this
stuff.
Now
she fakes it just so that she can get along with this guy.
This is the real Donna.
That was a real conversation with Bean in bed, by the way.
That's a cry for help.
It is. Yes.
That hurts me that she wrote that, and now I'm going to have to restrict her internet access even more.
If we look through like every third or fourth letter, it's going to say, please help, get me out of here.
I think we have to intervene.
Some kind of code there.
Ralph's here with the showbiz. Bean, Ralph, what's going on?
Well, you guys are talking about Lindsay Lohan and the speculation that maybe she didn't have appendicitis after all, and certainly sounds like, according to our medical expert, didn't have an appendectomy. Well, here's even more evidence. According to photographers and a gossip columnist named Janet Charlton, Lindsay left the hospital Friday morning. There's photos of her walking out under her own power, not in a wheelchair, as is usually the hospital regulations. And then by Friday night, she was partying again. They have photos of her dancing with Travis from Blink.
Oh.
Until 5 a.m. Saturday morning at a party in West Hollywood.
That's a quick recovery.
Heck of a recovery
right there. The hospital Friday morning, Friday night partying till 5 a.m. Saturday morning. Lindsay was seen drinking from a water bottle. They assume it was water, and smoking in between dances. But she seemed to be fine. Here's the thing. I've had an appendectomy, and you can barely stand upright for about 2 or 3 days after that fact.
But she's obviously, you know, better than we are.
Well, sure. She's got superhuman healing powers.
She's able to do that.
She's like the cheerleader on Heroes. She apparently heals right up. In fact, she grew her appendix back. That's how strong she is. Actor Jerry O'Connell is denying internet rumors that he and his fiancée, Rebecca Romijn, were wed over the weekend.
They were wet?
Wed.
Wed.
Rumors about the ceremony have been all over the internet, but he told Ellen DeGeneres that it's one of those internet rumors that starts, and the only problem with those rumors is that your mom finds out about it.
Yeah.
Your mom calls up and's like, Jerry, Louise told me that she just read on the internet that you're married, and I want to know if this is true and why I wasn't invited. So Jerry said they're not married, but they plan to get married one of these days, and when they do, they'll announce it, and we'll all know. So relax, people. Anna Nicole Smith's back in the States.
Yes.
She's been ordered by a court to submit to some DNA testing to prove the paternity of her baby daughter. She was over the weekend in Hollywood, Florida at a boxing match. I watched the match, actually. It was James Toney versus Samuel Peter, and it was a horrible fight, and she looked worse.
Really?
Yeah, she was in the audience posing for photographs with people. She was there with Hulk Hogan. I saw them taking some photos together.
Like my body.
While she was there, she showed the tribute to her two children.
Showed the tribute.
Anna Nicole unveiled a new tattoo on her left upper back, a portrait of her late son, Daniel. And then on the other side of her back, she's got her new daughter, Daniel Lynn's picture, tattooed on the right side of her back.
Well, that is touching.
And, you know, tattoo of an infant, that's got to look just like her. And I'm sure it will be a lifelong reminder of what her child looks like.
Lonely reminder when she's looking over her shoulder into a mirror.
I was going to say, I was going to remind her on her back.
She put it on backwards.
Of course, she was there with Howard K. Stern, also her alleged father of her baby. But the good news is she is submitting to the DNA testing, and we shall know soon
excellent
who the daddy is.
I want it to not be Howard K. Stern's, because I want to see what it does to that relationship when it turns out it's somebody else's baby.
Yeah, there's no relationship there.
And I hope it's not the other guy, the Larry Burkhead guy. I hope it's somebody completely new that we don't even know about.
I hope it's Russell Crowe.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Speaking of which, more allegations about Russell Crowe behaving badly in public. I don't know if you read about it, but recently he was on a promotional tour for his latest film, A Good Year. He was on a private jet, and he took a nap during the meal. When he woke up, found out that the serving of satay chicken that he wanted was instead eaten by his wife, Danielle Spencer, and that right. was the only one on the plane. Okay. And Russell, according to the flight attendant, threw a hissy fit. She said, he said to me, if I tell you I want something, you put it aside for me, or you wake me up. Is there some kind of language barrier here?
Dude.
Ouch. God, I would hate to be married to him. You never know when he's going to embarrass you.
Of course, the actor and his attorneys are denying the allegation, but everyone's saying there's no reason for this flight attendant to be lying. So, yeah.
Did he go and his wife's the one who ate it.
Exactly. Bitch at her. Don't bitch at the stewardess.
And then he went on to say this.
Don't look at me. Do not look at me in the eyes.
He's that way.
And finally, oh, I've been waiting all year. Oh, just
waiting all year.
Months and months for this to happen.
It's the ninth day.
Oh, yeah. We've been waiting 9 days for this to happen.
Yes.
House returns tonight on Fox.
Oh, it's tonight.
That's yeah. It's two houses back to back. It's kind of like a duplex tonight over there on Fox. And the reason I bring this up is because birthday boy Dave Matthews, singer-songwriter, has just announced he will be guest starring on the series in March.
No kidding.
He'll be playing a savant, a piano prodigy who comes under the care of Dr. Greg House, played by Hugh Laurie, of course. And he said he's very excited. He's going to try to do some more acting, and he's already filmed the show, and he's looking forward to it. So. Sounds good. But tonight, if you're like me, a big House fan, tonight is the trial episode where House goes up on trial for his drug charges. And David Morse plays Tritter, the detective on the show.
Oh, he's so mean.
So freaking
How
brilliant.
How unbelievable is he? He's great. So great.
Great, great.
I
actor.
Hate him, though.
Hey, when's Heroes? Is that next Monday, Ralph?
I believe it is.
24 is this coming Sunday, right? Monday? This coming Sunday, Monday, or a week from?
I don't know.
I think it's this one, this coming weekend.
Can't wait.
A lot of new shows are having new episodes that are airing. Lisa's over in the corner there making
out
her TV schedule.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
this is on.
When
oh,
everything
this is
starts.
On. Oh, wait, this game. Oh, this is going to be on too. And I have to write. She's writing down her.
Keep us updated.
Well, I schedule. Will. I am.
You really have to pay attention because it's not like everything comes back at the same time. I mean, some shows have already been back a couple of weeks, you know? It's crazy.
Today's celebrity birthday is Jimmy Page, legendary guitarist for legendary rock band Led Zeppelin, turned 63 years old today. David Johansen, also known as Buster Poindexter, also lead vocalist for the New York Dolls, who have recently reunited. He's 57 years old today. And Dave Matthews, as I mentioned, not only going to be on House in March, but celebrating his birthday today. He's 40. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let's talk about Nancy Leader from Zeta Talk. Now, we haven't had her on in a long time. She is a woman that claims Zeta, Z-E-T-A, she claims are aliens. She claims that aliens have visited Earth. She claims the government knows about it. She talks to the aliens to find out what's going on. There's a planet X that's heading for the Earth that might destroy it. There's going to be something called a pole shift. California's going to be underwater, head for high ground. She's one of these people, and she gave us two different dates before. One was in 2000, May 5th. Of 2000. She said that was going to be the pole shift, May 5th, 2000. So we had her on leading up to that, and of course nothing happened.
Right.
And then she said, well, that was a little white lie. That wasn't it. And then she said May 15th for 2003. That's the drop dead date right there, May 15th. And then that, of course, nothing happened. And so then she said, well, that was just, the aliens were just giving us a pump fake. They were just making us go for it just to see how we reacted, but that wasn't the real deal. So, and then I was reading on her website, ZetaTalk.com, and I was trying to figure out just exactly what she was talking about, like trying to summarize what it is that she's claiming, you know, in total, and it's not possible. It's just one thing to another, to another, to another, to another, that you just can't keep your head around.
First of all, I don't think I appreciate your attitude.
Okay.
Okay. Because I happen to love Nancy, and I happen to believe in Nancy, and I believe that Nancy is trying to give us important information that is valuable to us. And I think you'd be wise to listen a little more to what she's saying and see how it'll save your and your family's life in the future.
Okay.
That's what I advise to you.
That's
all right?
good. Now, I don't know if you were watching the news yesterday, but there was some weird smell in New York City. And they said it was smelled like gas. They weren't sure what it was. They wanted to figure out where it was coming from, what was going on.
Yeah.
Nancy sent out an email, or somehow we found out that she has information regarding the smell.
Nancy's been covering the story that broke in New York City yesterday, according to her website now, for years and years. And I am really impressed. Nancy from Zeta Talk, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. Well, it may not be a good New Year, as these are earth farts, and they happened in Italy, London, all across the U.S., you know, from a line from New York down to Houston, and in Australia, people got sick, had to be hospitalized.
Nancy?
New York, birds dropped dead in Austin.
Nancy?
And like the canary in a mine, in a bird cage, birds are more sensitive. This is methane gas being released from the earth, as in the stretch zone where it's pulled apart, rock layers are pulled apart.
Nancy?
We had a similar incident in October 2005 where people smelled rotten eggs all across the U.S. in the same area. Well, I know you're trying to get my attention, so I'll shut up.
Well, I mean, I am saying your name if that's how it's normally done.
Yeah.
Did you say the earth was farting?
Yes.
Well, wouldn't geologists know that?
Well, they do, but they're not allowed to tell you. Now,
in
New York City practically closed down. They were investigating the subways in London. They had stopped the tubes. They were running around. Now, in a couple of places across the U.S., they're saying, oh, it was a gas break. But in most cases, they're saying, well, we can't figure out where the smell came from. Now, the New York thing, they're saying, well, New Jersey. New Jersey stinks anyway, right?
Well, that's what, yeah, sure. A lot of people would buy that.
You had it along California, Half Moon Bay, and Oxnard, California. They closed a freeway for a while. They said was a gas.
Let me stop you right there, Nancy, because again, I'm giving you props here because I saw the information that you sent out of the newsletter, your Sign of the Times newsletter, and you have, it looks like, just to my eye, 20 different instances of places all around the world that have had exactly what happened in New York City happen to them. They did not catch my attention. I didn't realize this is widespread. You believe all of these mysterious odors that are happening around the world are all caused by the same thing, and that's the earth pulling itself apart.
It's the presence of Planet X, which zoomed into the solar system in 2003, creeping past the sun, and is going to zoom out at some point. And when it does, it's going to fly over our head and cause a pole shift, magnetic pole shift. And by the way, it was only one bad date on May 15th of 2003. Those others must have come from other people.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, this is very serious because it means that we're beginning to get a lot more plate movement, a lot more plate fluidity.
Nancy, you can't tell us that the earth is farting and then follow that up with this is very serious.
Well,
I mean, come on. Does it make a sound like this?
Not to my knowledge.
Was that sound hurt or just the smell?
It was pretty stinky. Everybody thought it was gas. They panicked.
So silent but deadly.
It did make, okay. It did send quite a few people to the hospital. So this is vegetation. During pole shifts, we have such violent earth changes that rock gets thrown over each other, rock layers.
But Nancy, you've been claiming pole shift year after year.
Why wouldn't we be having earthquakes?
We are starting to have more. In North American continent, New Madrid is going to be going one of these days soon. We've been free of earthquakes that have been happening around the Ring of Fire because of what the Zetas call an earth torque, where the North Pole is pulled to the east and the South Pole is held back, opening the earth like a jar of pickles. So this is going to eventually cause North America to pull diagonally. New England goes northeast, Mexico goes south.
And then pickles are going to come out?
Kevin, pay attention. Bad deal.
This New Madrid fault, is that the one that goes through the Midwest, that goes down through St. Louis and places like that, they say is potentially the most dangerous earthquake fault zone in the world, right?
Because of the liquefaction in the Mississippi Valley, it's so much mud. And a small quake along, a quake of equal size on the West Coast is just a local affair. But in along the New Madrid, it goes all the way from Chicago over to Cincinnati up to Nebraska. And, wow, it's a huge area. And think of the cities there that are not retrofitted, that are going to crumble down.
Now you say that the government is in on the whole alien thing, the Zetas, and they understand what's going on. They don't want to tell people because they don't want to panic. Are they aware of the earth farting? Do they know that?
Yes.
I mean, they knew that's what it was?
Yes. They've been aware of Planet X and its approach, and that's one of the things that is not allowed in the mainstream media. You know, they allow me to get on occasionally because, well, people say, she's just a crazy woman talking to aliens.
No, that's because people say that because you are a crazy woman. But
I come deniable.
But why don't they shut you up if you're the only one that's out there saying, hey, the government knows, the government knows?
I'm under a protection. The Zetas know what people are thinking the minute they think it because they're very telepathic.
So the aliens are protecting you from the government.
And I think a lot of other people are protected, too. Truly, I do. I think a lot of people would be snuffed if it weren't for the angels about them.
So are they angels or are they aliens?
Well, they're, I mean, what is an angel but something waiting to do good when called?
See, you know, so Kevin?
But how do you know the aliens aren't going to attack? I mean, you know.
Well, there are bad aliens, but there are rules in the universe. The bad guys cannot just land, mass land, take over, eat us, throw us into vats, you know, colonize us.
What kind of police force is out there making sure that doesn't happen?
It's called the Council of Worlds, and all different life forms in our part of the universe that are intelligent and are capable of space travel are required to be members.
Would we know the Council of Worlds as the Men in Black?
Oh, no, that's just another group of, it's a type of hominoid, and they live underground.
I see.
Like Bigfoot is another type of hominoid, you know, that is intelligent, in fact. So
I was thinking of the Will Smith movie.
We've got a lot of residents here on our neighbors.
All right.
Nancy, are you dating at all these days, dear?
Oh, there's no chance. You know,
really? Can you imagine for one second going out on a dinner date with Nancy, and she
I would not shut up.
I would love it, too. Nancy, where do you live?
That I'm not dating.
Where do you live now?
Who would have me? Central Wisconsin. I'm walking my own talk. I moved from San Francisco.
You moved from San Francisco because you know that the coast is going to be underwater.
Well, actually, we're going to have terrible sloshing. You know, when the Pacific shortens, where's that water going to go? It's going to slosh over the coastal mountains and wash into the inland valleys. Poor L.A. with all those mountains behind
it. Is it true that,
galore.
Do I remember correctly that you put your dog to sleep before you moved because you knew it wasn't worth it?
Actually, there was dual reasons. One was he was completely feral. The vet was begging me to put it to sleep because it was going to bite people. And it was already actually plunging through windows when children went by on their bikes.
Oh, my.
So we were going to have that tearing some child's face off, and it had been under-socialized. Wait a minute, Nancy.
If that dog were to attack somebody, wouldn't the aliens be there to protect you?
Well, no. They're busy with other things like protecting me.
So I see. Okay.
Sure. They can't do everything.
Nancy, we're almost out of time, but your prediction from Zeta Talk, as I understand it, is that we're going to continue to hear and smell and see these earth farts for time to come until the pole shift, right?
Periodically, you know, that'll happen, but we're going to have increasing earthquakes, increasing volcanic, and of course that's way up. You don't get the overview on the media, but it's up by 50% volcanic and earthquake, and they downplay earthquake Richter and incidents.
They do.
And then at some point we're going to be seeing something coming from the sun that looks like a writhing monster, and we're going to have the North Pole tip away, 3 days of darkness, what will seem like 6 days of sunrise west. Then the Earth will slow to a stop for almost a week, and then we'll have an hour of a pole shift. You folks need to read in the safe locations on Zeta Talk about how safe is your location, and we're filled with information in the Trouble Times section about what kind of steps you can take for your survival. Obviously, the grid will be down.
Well,
cities will collapse.
Yeah,
you need
of course.
Seeds, fish hook, chickens, goats. You need a small rural communities are best.
Nancy, do you ever wake up and say to yourself, I, first of all, am a bag of hot air, and I'm really tired of being so negative and just claiming that the world's going to end every day of my life?
Oh, I think I'm being positive. I'm telling you how great it's going to be not to have to, you know, go to work every day. Kids are going to be out of school. Kids can help their parents with fun stuff.
Well, we won't be going to work
like
because
a constant camping trip.
We'll be
scrounging
dead.
For food.
We're right. Fighting off dogs to try and find food.
Bugs are edible. Well, dogs make a good meal.
Dogs make a good meal, she just said.
Nancy.
Bugs are very nutritious. They're full of protein. I'm telling you, you got to listen to this.
How do you not have a man, Nancy?
I'll tell you, the Mormons will be ready.
Yeah.
They have your food.
Nancy is the beacon. She's the shining light in the sea of bad news. She's telling us how to survive the troubled times, Kevin. All you focus on is the bad news. She's giving you good news.
It sounded like she was giving me bad news, and she has been since the beginning. All right, so it's the earth farting.
That's exactly what Nancy says, right.
All right, Zeta Talk is ZetaTalk.com. Get a look at Nancy and ask her out. I've been asking her out for a long time. She's been putting me off, but I think I'm going to wear her down over time.
For your own good, trust
yeah.
me.
I think you may be right.
I love crazy people.
Nancy, Happy New Year. Thanks for coming on. Good luck to you. I hope we talk to you again in 2007.
Thank you.
Okay, bye now.
Let me add this K-Rock listener, Sean, by the way, because I'm not going to let him blaspheme. I just, he needs a beat down.
We're talking yesterday, Ralph with the Showbiz Beat told us about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they inducted five new groups / people into the Hall of Fame. One of them was Van Halen. Mm-hmm. And you ask yourself, all right, and by the way, you have to have, it has to be 25 years after your first recording. So obviously,
that's right.
All of the bands that get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame are going to be older bands where they were popular in the 80s or 90s or whatever. So anyway, we were talking about it. And Ralph said that they're going to put David Lee Roth and Sammy Hagar, both lead singers in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Bogus.
With Van Halen, which is just stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, just pick one. I don't know, the good one.
Well, this is the thing, and I can't even believe Sean wrote this email, but here's what he said. Hey, guys, Sammy Hagar was way better than David Lee Roth. Van Halen had way more hits with Sammy than they did with David Lee Roth. David Lee Roth has no talent whatsoever, is what Sean says. And we thought, we gotta talk to this dude. We gotta find out where he's coming from, because clearly he's got problems. Or his last name is Hagar, and he didn't tell us that in the email.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
First of all, I'm fascinated that anyone cared enough to write an email on this topic. But
I don't see why more people don't agree with me. He doesn't have any talent whatsoever.
Well, I can tell you why more people don't agree with you, because you're just horribly wrong.
You're so wrong.
No way that's possible.
No one's ever been more wrong than you.
David Sean, Roth's voice is just terrible.
All right, how old are you, Sean?
I'm 23.
23. Okay, so you've heard most of the best of Van Halen. You've heard long after its time. It's not like you lived through the time. You have gone back and picked up and started hearing those recordings long after they were recorded, right? And you're on the face of it, you're saying you listen to those records and you don't have any emotional attachment to either band, but you listen to those records and you think the Sammy Hagar ones are just better than the David Lee Roth ones.
Oh, definitely. The writing's much better ever since they got Sammy Hagar. His voice is way, way better.
He has a distinctive voice. I mean, Sammy Hagar doesn't have a bad voice. It's not that. It's just David Lee Roth was
the showman.
There are so few people who are the showman, right? The lead singer that everybody can focus on. He's a little weird, eccentric. He may not have the best, you know, voice in the entire world, but he's got the charisma and everything else. You know, he's the Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones. He's the guy who you associate with the band.
That's the same as every other 80s hair band or any other rock band at the time. They're all the same. The difference with Sammy Hagar is he actually had talent. He actually had good songwriting.
No.
His songs to sing, it's just totally different. I don't understand why everybody likes David Lee Roth. You guys are crazy.
I will tell you this, though, Sean, and I think this is interesting, and it kind of proves both of our points, is that neither Sammy Hagar or David Lee Roth have really ever had much of a solo career outside of Van Halen. I mean, Van Halen is where they had their most success, so there is something to be said for them as being band members, too.
That's another reason why Sammy Hagar is better. Even though his solo career sucked as well, he at least had a mild success over David Lee Roth as well.
Well, I Can't Drive 55. That's his mild success.
That's just that Mos Tequila, you know, that terrible song. But
David Lee Roth, though, had, you know, the Gigolo song, and he had the California Girl song. I mean, he definitely sold some records on his own,
that
too.
First album he did as a solo with Just Like Living in Paradise with Steve Vai playing guitar, that sold a ton of records, and it was very popular. You guys are totally wrong.
It sold records because people just wanted to hear him as a solo career.
Sean, let me run a few songs by you, okay? This is Van Halen with David Lee Roth.
Any problem with that, Sean?
And actually, that actually is probably his best song, I think.
All right, what about
still not as good as a lot of the songs by Sammy Hagar, though.
What about this one?
I got to tell you, Sean, I put on, especially those first two Van Halen albums with David Lee Roth, you know, with Ain't Talking About Love and Running With the Devil and Dance the Night Away and then The Cradle Will Rock and all those songs. But those songs still rock today. Those songs still sound great today. I can't tell you that I'm listening to any of the Sammy Hagar Van Halen stuff anymore.
Here's another one. I would guess younger people who weren't into music at that time or this music at that time would know all of the David Lee Roth songs and very few of the Sammy Hagar songs.
Good point.
Here's a few of Sammy Hagar, Dreams. Come, we belong in a world that must be strong. Come, we belong in a world that must be strong. Okay, good voice, gay song. Gay.
Sean, admit that they got out of control with that stupid synthesizer, though, in the Sammy Hagar years.
You guys are just a little homophobic with it. You're just trying to be. You just want the cool rock song. And they all sound too similar with David Lee Roth.
Now again, great voice, I think, but
great video.
Song blows. And finally, straight from my heart. Oh, tell me why
can't this be love? You know, I gotta tell you, Sean, I thought that you would be alone. You'd be the only guy sticking up for Sammy. But we got all the lines are packed right now, and it's about, what do you say, Kevin? It's about 50-50. Half and half. It's about 50-50. There actually are a lot more Sammy Hagar fans out there than I thought, which means that you're not the only one listening right now who's wrong.
Who's completely 100% wrong. Yes, I come
up. I think the bottom line is if you like more of a pop sound, you're going to like the Hagar Van Halen. And if you're into rock and heavier music, you're going to like, you know, the David Lee Roth stuff. And that's the bottom line. Yeah.
So basically what we're saying, Sean, is you are a pop princess.
Yeah, those songs you played were much by Sammy Hagar.
Kevin Amin, my name is Sean. I listen to K-Rock. I am dead wrong. Say it. Yeah.
But I might as well be listening to the Paris Hilton album because that's what my taste goes to. So do you agree with the decision? Do you agree with the decision to put both of them in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Yeah, they both were what made Van Halen really good. Don't get me wrong, David Lee Roth is okay. Some of his songs are pretty good, but he just doesn't compare to Sammy Hagar.
All right.
Wow.
Well, you couldn't be more wrong, seriously. So put on your skirt and go to school, Sean. Thanks for emailing us.
Your listeners agree with me, apparently.
Some of them are wrong with you, sure.
We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you emailing and coming on, though, Sean. Have a good day.
Thank you, guys.
Speaking of pop princesses like Sammy Hagar and his fans, we got to deal with Britney Spears, who's been in the news a lot, as you know, lately. And by all accounts, according to her official website, BritneySpears.com, she now is starting to realize some of the things that people are saying about her, and it may actually be hurting her image. And she's actually put something online that looks like, well, kind of an apology. So we got to find out what that's all about, and we've got Britney on the line with us right now. Hey, Brit.
Hey, guys. Morning.
It's kind of sad. We can't say, hey, Kevin. You know, not there. I know. I'm just kind of sad. That's all.
We saw you yesterday wearing the see-through lingerie top and the bright orange bikini underneath.
Uh-huh.
And you're looking good. But why are you staying at a hotel? Don't you have houses in Los Angeles? Why did you check into the Shutters Hotel? What's up with that, girlfriend?
Because, like, at Shutters and stuff, there are no kids. It's just me. Yay!
What about your kids? We haven't seen you with your kids in, like, 3 months.
Yeah, they're small.
Right.
They don't, like, walk. They don't, like, talk and stuff. They just kind of sit there. You have to, like, dress them and feed them. Like, babies are a lot of work. It makes my head hurt.
Did you not know that before?
No, I mean, I just wanted, like, a doll. And then Kevin was like, I want one kids. And so I was like, all right, whatever.
All right.
Okay, but at some point, we didn't even have time to go back into this, but you should have realized he already had a bunch of kids that he wasn't spending any time with. What made you think it was going to be different when you started having kids with him?
But they weren't mine. I wanted my own. I don't want to share. I want my own.
You wanted your own so that you could have someone else raise them?
Yeah.
Okay. real quick, I know we're running late on time, but you fell asleep New Year's Eve in Vegas?
I didn't, like, fall asleep as much as I was, like, dancing and stuff, mm-hmm. and I took a bunch of shots and stuff, and then I, like, closed my eyes for a little bit because I just wanted to close them.
Right, that's falling asleep.
Mm-mm.
No, you didn't. No. Okay. Mm-mm. All right. Well, the press release is out there now. The World of Britney has been a huge website supporting you, and apparently they're shutting down.
They're donezo.
They're announcing the permanent shutdown of the World of Britney, and the guy says, unfortunately, I believe Britney is done, for me at least.
Wow.
So he says he's going to shut down his site, and you have what Bean describes, I think is right, a letter of apology on your website to your fans.
I got a letter! Yay!
Would you like to read us your apology for people who haven't seen it?
Yes. Okay. Ready?
Yep.
Dear fans, it has been a while since I've addressed y'all personally here on my official website. The last couple of years have been quite a ride for me. The media has criticized my every move and printed a skewed perception of who I really am as a human being and stuff. The last couple of years have been very enlightening for me, and now that I've had the time to be me, quotes, I've been able to sit down and think about where I want to go with myself as an entertainer with absolutely no strings attached. Like, I am much more mature now and feel like I'm finally free. Quotes.
So you're saying you're much more mature now.
Yeah, like totally. I'm so much more mature than like I was like yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Y'all, I've been working so hard on this new album, and I can't wait for y'all to hear it and go out on tour again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I noticed today that one of my biggest fan sites is shutting down soon, and I wanted you all to know that I do understand all the reasons that went behind making that decision, like all the thinking and stuff.
So you're fine with it, then?
I'm sad. I'm sad. Tear. To see closing. But if I were you, I'd be unhappy too, y'all. If I had to read what I've been reading every day, but trust me, I get it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've been far from perfect, and the media has had a lot of fun exaggerating my every move, y'all. But I want you to know that I love my fans so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate everything you have done for me. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you.
Brittany was applauding for herself there.
That's the end?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Brittany, real quick, how have the media been exaggerating you and your life when you're the one who's, you know, getting in and out of cars with no panties and falling asleep and drinking and walking and doing all the stuff that you're doing with the kids? And I mean, how are we exaggerating that? Isn't it just what you've been doing that we're reporting on?
No, you don't have to, like, take pictures of my vajayjay and stuff.
Well, you got it hanging out for everybody to see.
Yeah.
I mean,
I wasn't hanging out. I was just getting out.
It was hanging out.
And suddenly there's a camera in my pooter. Come on.
You couldn't have seen that coming, I guess?
No.
Yeah.
But at okay. least I shaved, y'all.
Who? Yeah, that's true. That is true. Who wrote that letter, really, Brittany?
I think it was somebody on Microsoft Word named Thesaurus.
Oh, he's good. He does very good work.
He does good work.
That's excellent.
Okay.
All right. Well, listen, Brittany, try to stay alive in 2007. I guess we'll talk to you again soon, all right?
Okay, sweetheart? Love you guys.
Okay, thanks. Bye now. Time for the Showbiz Beat with Ralph.
This is the cockpit camera.
I sound drunk.
Everyone becomes the rock show.
I'm starting to sound drunk just as a permanent condition.
I can't
really.
Soon you'll be counting down the New Year's Eve. That's what's next for you.
This close to being Dick Clark. That's true.
And so it continues, the battle royale between Rosie O'Donnell and Donald Trump.
Okay.
Yes.
Yesterday on The View, Rosie shot back at the Donald.
Yes.
By sarcastically saying, he's obsessed with me. It's the way I look. He can't resist.
Ugh.
Then she mocked Donald for calling her fat in his attacks on her.
She's not?
I love when people say you're fat like you don't know. No, we know that you know you're fat, but we just want to call you fat because you're fat.
It's not just that she's fat, it's that she's so hateable. And then every other little glitch that goes right, people just pile on because she's so hateable.
Rosie said, it's always the first comment of someone who disagrees with you if you happen to be on the plus side.
On the plus side.
This is coming from a woman, by the way, who has taken a shot at his hair at every possible opportunity. So it's not exactly like she is above using physical attacks in the argument. Donald, however, came back and said, I used the word slob. I used the word degenerate, and I used the words not very smart, but the word fat played a very small role, if any, in my description of her. Monday show, Rosie also said that she went shopping recently, and after all this fight that's been in the press, she said, all of these plus-side women came up to me with tears in their eyes, approaching me with words of support. He has wounded millions of women by saying that I was fat. Does he know that? Yeah, he really hasn't. He's just...
Just
wounded
you
because you're obnoxious and fat.
You're such a fat ass that when you walk down the street, people go, God damn it, that's a big fat ass!
I thought it was interesting that Donald Trump apparently said he was quoting Barbara Walters, that she regretted hiring Rosie for The View, and Barbara Walters has gone out of her way to say, no, I never said that. In this case, I can say that Donald Trump is not telling the truth.
But what could she say?
Yeah.
If they were at some party and Walter says to him on the aside, oh, what a huge mistake I made hiring that fat slob.
Yeah.
Then he says it out loud. What's she going to do? She's working with him every day. Does she say, yeah, he's right. I said I didn't want to work
How
with
are the
you.
Ratings? Bad, I hope?
Great.
They peaked early on when she first joined, and they have been leveling off ever since.
Hey, no fatty, you are fat!
Still ahead of Star Jones, thank God, so at least we got that.
I don't know. You have his CDs, you've drank his vitamin water, you've worn his clothing, but will you buy 50 Cent condoms? 50 Cent has announced that he is releasing a line of condoms. He told the New York Post, the kids become immune when you constantly beat them over the head, like read a book, read a book. We have to be a little more creative about it. It's the same with safe sex. Well, who better than a rapper to tell you how to keep from getting an unwanted pregnancy?
Yes.
I suggest the new campaign, wrap your G-Unit. But I don't think they're going to go in that direction.
The condoms have bullet holes in them?
No word yet on how 50 Cent's new line of condoms will be distributed or when they'll hit the market, but I guarantee you they'll come in one size. Big.
I'm busy now. You can't be hounding the pimp.
Don't hound the pimp, right, please. Angelina Jolie has told us that she feels closer to her adopted children than her own.
Oh, what? Why would you say that?
That's good news. She told Elle magazine that she feels more partial towards her adopted children than she does the one that was sired from her own loins. I think I feel so much more for Maddox and Z because they're survivors. They came through so much. Shiloh seems so privileged from the moment she was born. I have less inclination to feel for her. I met my other kids when they were 6 months old. They came with personality. A newborn is really, yes, a blob.
Well, she has never had a newborn before.
No, she hasn't.
Yeah.
I can't wait for Shiloh to read this interview some 10 years from now.
No kidding.
Before she starts her therapy.
She's discriminating against Shiloh because she's white and was born wealthy.
Yes.
And okay. Whose fault is that?
Exactly.
Should throw that before you were white and rich, yeah. Angelina. But now she's starting to have a personality, she added. I'm conscious that I have to make sure I don't ignore her needs just because I think the others are more vulnerable. So she's showing some favoritism towards her adopted children, which I think is spectacular.
That's good. That's what you want.
It really is.
Feed those kids first, and then if there's any leftovers, feed your own.
And, you know, the British have their version of the Oscars called the BAFTAs from the British mm-hmm. Academy of Film and Television Arts. And they have just nominated their Rising Star Award. The nominations have just been released. And new Bond girl Eva Green has been nominated for the award. She stars, of course, opposite Daniel Craig in Casino Royale. She's dynamite. The other short list of nominees for the coveted prize are Ben Whishaw from Perfume, which I haven't seen, but it's getting critical acclaim, that film, about a dude who kills broads to make perfume out of them. Sweet.
I haven't heard of that.
Cillian Murphy's been nominated for The Wind That Shakes the Barley, but he's been around forever. I can't imagine he's sort of a newcomer. Naomi Harris for Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, and Emily Blunt in The Devil Wears Prada, and she is great in that
movie.
Oh,
she's so good.
She's terrific in that.
Yeah.
So the awards, the BAFTA awards, will be announced on February 11th. That's when you can see the British versions of the Oscars got come
about,
out first.
Got about two solid months of award shows coming up.
Oh, nothing but. Nothing but. And this isn't really showbiz news, but I was reading the article and I thought it was worth bringing up. Have you ever seen this this list they do every year of the most ridiculous warning labels put on products?
Oh, yeah, it's always
yes.
funny.
This list every year comes out from the Michigan Lawsuit Abuse Watch, and they make a point of reading hundreds of bogus warning labels on products to find the most ridiculous ones. And these are all warnings that have been the result of frivolous lawsuits from people.
So they're true warnings, but they're based on somebody suing for
the only
ridiculous
reason they're
reason.
Putting it on their products because someone had sued the manufacturer for this very reason. The top award winners this year are from a personal watercraft, like a Ski-Doo,
mm-hmm.
that on the gas tank says, never use a lit match or open flame to check the fuel level. Excellent advice. I don't think they really need to post that. A lottery ticket now carries the warning, do not iron.
Apparently, not iron.
Apparently, someone ruined their lottery ticket by ironing it. A cell phone has a warning that reads, do not try to dry your cell phone in a microwave oven.
Oh, no.
Some simpleton apparently did that and then sued the cell phone manufacturer.
I think we need to let these people do these things, and maybe they'll eliminate themselves.
A local Yellow Pages book had a warning, please do not use this directory while operating a moving vehicle. Apparently someone was looking for a store and looking it up at the same time they were driving.
Okay.
But this year's winner by far, the number one warning label, was on a front-loading washing machine in a laundromat. Currently carries the label, do not put any person in this washer, then turn it on.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently someone climbed inside of a washing machine in a laundromat and someone turned it on and they got hurt.
Do you remember the contraceptive jelly one from several years ago? The warning said, do not put on toast or do not eat.
Yeah. Do not eat. Does not work that way.
Stupid people have stupid children. If you're stupid, please don't have sex. If you insist on having sex, then please have sex with animals.
Please.
There you go.
Please.
It's just a warning. We're just saying, if you're stupid.
Today's celebrity birthday is Jimmy Page, guitarist for Led Zeppelin, 63 years old today. David Johansen, also known as Buster Poindexter, lead singer for the New York Dolls, 57 years old today. And Dave Matthews, singer-songwriter, turns 40 years old today. Steve Harwell, by the way, from Smash Mouth, mm-hmm. is 40 also. So, okay, he's waiting for the Surreal Life 9 so he can come back again. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Before we get into the next topic, I think maybe we
due to some graphic and mature content, parental discretion is advised.
Because we're talking about a topic here.
And we do want to warn you that some of the language in this story is strong, and it may offend you, it may offend some other people. We have decided to leave it in the story for you to decide.
Ooh, sounds good. I hear those warnings. It makes me want to listen to what's coming
up. Intended only for mature audiences.
Okay, so there you go. We took a call yesterday on Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew from a K-Rock listener who was a repo guy. And he told us the following story.
Well, I repossess cars for a living, and, Friday I went to go repossess the BMW. I hook up the car, and I knock on the lady's door. She's like, oh, my God, you're not taking my car. And I'm like, ma'am, I have to. You know, I'm going to need your keys. She's like, there's got to be something we could do to stop
this. Oh, yeah, I'll do anything.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, we get propositions like this all the time, but it never happens, and this one happened.
You took this sex as a bride. Happened,
man.
Nice work. Come on.
This program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Viewer discretion is advised.
Okay. So you took sex for a bribe.
I'm sure it happens all the time.
Or you gave sex for a bribe, by the way. I think that would be as interesting.
Absolutely.
You know, what you were able to get out of.
I'm not suggesting who on this show may have given sex as a bribe, but Lisa sure gets a lot of channels at her house. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. That is very true.
The reenactments and commentary in this program may contain frank talk of a sexual nature. Okay. Viewer discretion is advised.
All right.
I just call it bartering.
So 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number here at K-Rock. If you have some experience in this particular field, you are a pizza delivery guy, cable guy, car.
Can you imagine if you got sex because they didn't have cash for a pizza?
Repo man. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, no kidding.
That'd be awesome. Lisa, there have to have been circumstances. I'm not suggesting you have done this, but there have to have been circumstances where it was hanging in the air. It was implied that maybe something would be cheap or free if you were to cooperate.
I certainly had a discussion with someone once concerning a job that the discussion sort of ended with him saying, well, what's in it for me?
You weren't supposed to tell me.
We still hired you, Lisa. We still hired you.
You're an idiot. Shut up.
Say anything. Jesus.
The following program contains adult language and subject matter.
All right.
Viewer discretion advised.
Okay. So it was suggested, in other words, that perhaps the wheels would be greased a little bit if you would just roll over and play dead, right?
In a very veiled way.
Roll over and play dead.
Well, I would have had to do that.
That's not what I was looking for. I mean, what he was looking for.
Here's a story from Connecticut that just came, it's this year, from 2007. A driving instructor with the State Department of Motor Vehicles in Connecticut has been charged with persuading a woman to strip off some of her clothing in exchange for passing her driver's test. By the way, this is not where we want this trade to be happening. I don't care if you get pizza, okay? I don't care how that works. But this woman who had failed her driver's test several times before was basically told, you know, show me a little scan, I might see my way toward passing you. So you don't want those people out on the road, right?
Right. Drug use and language, strong violence, sexuality, nudity. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
Okay, all right. I think we got that covered.
Didn't work out, by the way. Police said the woman reluctantly took off some of her clothing, but refused to take all of it off. And he did, in fact, issue her a license, but then she told on him, and then he got busted and got arrested. So didn't work out.
I think this should be a legal trade. Don't you think? I mean, you have something the guy wants, or you have something the girl wants. You know,
I imagine in some
cases.
How
society's worked all the way back.
In some cases, it would be legal, like maybe the pizza one. So the guy goes back and pays for the pizza himself. That seems fair,
yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, women have been getting backstage for decades using this technique. You know,
right.
you gotta work some before you get to whoever it is you're there to meet. You know, it does happen all the time. But we are going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Claire? Claire is in Century City, and it sounds like this is exactly what we're talking about here as we talk about sex bribes this morning.
Hey, Claire.
Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Claire.
I'm a corporate litigator, and occasionally, I went to party school for undergrad, and so I have a lot of friends who get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally, one of them will call me to represent them for a DUI or for possession charge or whatever.
Right.
And so my friend Sarah called me one day and said, I have this friend, and he doesn't have any money, and he's, you know, been pulled over or whatever. So I represented him, and he's super-duper hot. And, I had like $0. And of course, you know, a girl has to get paid.
Sure.
Now, Claire, you're a lawyer, so tell me, is this legal?
No.
It's not ethical.
That's not what we asked.
But it's not illegal, right?
So you have a...
I could set my fee at anything. So technically, I could say I was representing him pro bono, no pun intended.
Right.
So that's, you know, kind of what I did. I can choose to represent or not represent.
It's and then
not-
you can choose to date or not date.
Right.
So you represented this guy, and then he paid you in the form of the donkey punch or the dirty swirly. Right?
Yeah.
You rule. We need more layers. We need more lawyers like Claire, by the way.
I'm going to think of somebody to sue right now just so I can call Claire to represent me. That's awesome.
No relationship. We just, you know, got on a couple times, sure. And he went his way, and I went mine.
Awesome.
Sure. All right. Hey, we've heard all about pro boner work. We know how that works. All right, Claire, thank you for the call, my dear. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Carrie in Upland. We're talking about sex bribes here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the World Famous K-Rock Tuesday morning. Hi, Carrie. What happened?
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Carrie.
Trading for sex.
Me and my girlfriend, we were taking a cab home from San Bernardino to Upland, mm-hmm. and we went with only $20, knowing it would probably be more, but we had done this in the past and gotten away with it.
Yeah.
And the guy basically said, you know, it's $60, and we said, well, we only have $20, and he's like, well, since you only have $20, you guys could perform oral sex on me.
Maybe we could work out the rest. Right. Work out some kind of trade.
And we just basically told him, like, yeah, that's not going to happen, sorry. And then he said, well, if you won't do it to me, I'll go ahead and do it to you. And that's when we were just like, oh, we're getting out of here. He was like some old Indian guy. It just was not happening for us.
So you didn't do it?
Well, no, we ran. It was
Cherry. But you didn't have the money.
$40.
Wait, I can't say that. I'm sorry. I can't say that. All right. Thank you, Carrie, for the call. All right. We need to take a break, but 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for sex bribes you either gave or took. And we'll take your calls when we get back on K-Rock.
Due to some graphic and mature content, parental discretion is advised.
It is the Kevin Beach Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 26 minutes after 8 o'clock.
You've heard of the sex trade. Well, we're taking it literally here. We're talking about trading for sex, stuff that you gave or got for sex. 1-800-520-1067. We got, more calls than we'll possibly have time for.
This all started with a call that we got yesterday. And Kevin Means What It Do Nephew, a guy who's a repo man, went to repossess a car, knocked on the door. Woman invited him in, tried to talk him out of it, had sex with him. He left. He came back the next day in the middle of the night and took the car anyway.
What a dick.
Let's start this time with Lou from Whittier. Again, maybe not an appropriate conversation for the kids to listen if they're in the car, but Lou, what happened?
Yeah, back in high school, I used to always trade crystal meth for sex.
So you're a dealer. They couldn't pay for it, so they worked it off.
Yeah, it was meth or pot, whatever they wanted, you know. And it always turned out good.
Yeah,
yeah. But after, you know, a couple of months of crystal meth, did you even want to have sex with them?
Yeah. A couple months would go by and. Not so much anymore.
Not so much.
Because some of those guys, when they're on meth, you know.
I think we're talking about girls. I think it's girls we're dealing with.
Well, assuming that. That's your assumption.
Well, I mean, there was this one time, but.
Right, sure.
All right, Lou. Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. What about Eric in Pasadena here as we're talking about trading for sex?
Eric, good morning.
Morning. How you doing?
Good. Hey. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Sex bribes.
I used to be a manager of a Firestone out in Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we used to get girls coming in there, and sometimes, you know, they didn't have the money to pay for the automotive work, so they, you know, they pay it with sex.
Really? At a Firestone?
How does it come up at a place like that?
You know, I mean...
She does her thing, and, you know, nature takes its course.
What is the conversation?
Sorry, I misunderstood. Yeah, how do they break the ice with that conversation? How do they say, ooh, that's too much, I don't have?
You know what happened is when I took over that store down there, the manager already the mechanics and the managers had warned me about, you know, that they had friends coming over, you know, and would pay, you know, sex for working on their cars, and I was cool with it, you know, I got my thrills out of it for a while, so I'm not sure how it started, but since I was there about 12 years, and
so they told you. They told you as the manager of the store that this is how things work.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
That's how it all. I mean, I was sort of surprised, and I, you know, my main thing, as long as there was nothing going out the back door, nothing was being given away.
Right, sure.
It was fine, but it was just basically service. You know, they might, you know, balance the tires on a car.
I got you. Is that what you kids call it these days?
But how do you balance the books?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Are you cooking the books because of the work or the materials or the parts or something that you're using that you're, you don't have cash to show for?
Really, no materials really going out. It, you know, like balance.
Just labor.
Yeah, just labor. Yeah, you know,
okay.
You would discount the labor, you know, quite a bit sometimes. You know,
now,
just,
Eric,
you know.
You said you didn't want anything going out the back door. Could something go in the back door if you get my meaning?
You know what? We're not in that back room, stood in that back room, you know?
Damn, man. I understand.
12 years ago, I was manager of this place. Nice. Thank you for the call.
But again, Lisa brings up the great point. How, I mean, these guys are doing it with lots of different people. Do they just assume that somebody's going to go for that? I mean, do they just say that they got a woman in front of them who can't, you know, it's expensive, it's a $400 bill or something, and they're like, well, you know, there's another way. I mean, do they just throw it out there and hope that she bites or what?
In a perfect world. Absolutely.
She doesn't bite, I guess, is really more accurate.
Absolutely. Hey, if you want to do the Lithuanian typewriter in the back room, we can cancel that bill right out. I love that. All right, let's go to Steve and your Belinda. Hi.
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Good, thanks.
Hey, Steve.
Sex bribes. We can take calls all day. The lines are just jammed with people.
Yep.
This is it's more common than money in Southern California.
I had no idea.
All right, Steve, what were you doing?
Driving tow trucks, repossessing cars, and impounding them.
So again, it's
the girls would bring it up. They wouldn't have the money, and they go, "Isn't there something I can do? I'll do anything."
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like, "Hey, let's go in the office. Can you bend over this desk? No problem."
Wow, it's as bold as that, huh?
Most girls know exactly how to say that. By the way, they say, "I'll do anything," or they say, "I'll do anything almost," or just about.
Right.
So
you
can
kind of tell which ones are saying they'll bend over the table.
Well, Steve, the way you tell it, it's very romantic.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. There's no romance about this. This is a trade, straight trade.
I guess.
It's an economic deal.
Do we have time for Adam in L.A.? Because
yes.
This one, we haven't gotten into what this trade is for, but I bet this one's pretty common, too.
All right, Adam, hi.
How's it going, guys? Good morning, everybody.
Hello, Adam.
So you're looking for a place to stay. That's a little different than we've been talking about so far.
I was a little down on my luck, and basically I was homeless, and this rather large woman knew what was going on with my situation, and she kind of gave the look. I gave the look, and I got a place to stay for the night. But the worst part about it was I figured, okay, after the deal is done, you know, do the deed, and we'd be cool for the night. No, you know, I wanted the place to stay for the night, and she wanted everything for the night. So it was an all-night affair. It was pretty bad.
And she was
so you didn't even get any sleep?
No, not really. It was basically just shelter from the rain.
And only one night.
I mean, it was a rather large woman. She, as soon as we walked through the door, she went after it like she hadn't had it in years.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, it's a little bit of a different story, but you know our pal Steve-O from the Jackass movies. I remember a couple of years ago when he was coming in here, he's like, yeah, I always come to town, man. I have no idea where I'm going to stay. I just figure I'll meet somebody. I'm going out tonight anyway. I can always find a place to stay. That's not a problem.
Every day. It was not even a thought of where he's going to be. He'll find somebody that'll trade it for that, and he's just fine that way.
He's fine with that. Yeah, he's turned it into a career, man.
Although, wouldn't you like to see a picture of all of the women? I mean, you were talking to Adam. Is this the only time you've ever done this, Adam?
Yes, just this once.
So,
I learned my lesson.
So your memory is just a fat lady. That's you. That's the only time you ever did that.
A really, really fat lady.
Yeah. How fat, Adam?
We're going to go 300-pound mark.
Oh,
Wow.
You should have gotten a place to stay for a week for that.
No kidding.
It was you kind of slap her thigh and ride the wave in.
Oh!
I like it. Thank you for the call, Adam. We appreciate it. Bye now. I got to tell you, one of my favorite things about working at this radio station is the K-Rock listeners tip us off to stuff that is just spectacular that we wouldn't come across in our normal lives.
So true.
We got a call yesterday on Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew, and it was about the CHP. And there was a woman who was going on their website, I think to check traffic.
Mm-hmm.
She was going to Vegas or something.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She wanted to check closures.
She wanted to check closures with the traffic, and she came across the fact that there's a theme song on the CHP website, and she listened to it, and it is spectacular. They came up with a theme song. There's a guy that sings it with all his heart and just means it so much. And we got some email. We also got some other songs in, but let's start with the CHP theme because I think this is one that you're going to be hearing a lot on K-Rock. We'll probably start rotating it about the same as the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Heavy rotation.
Uh-huh.
Now, the California Highway Patrol, I just assume they'd be using the theme from the Chips TV show, but they don't use that at all. Their slogan is safety, service, and security, according to the website. That doesn't seem to have anything to do with the lyrics that we're hearing in this song. And what are they using this for? Is this for a recruitment video? Is this something that the officers are supposed to sing in assemblies? I mean, what's the deal with this song?
I don't know. Maybe they all have to get together and sing it when they have a meeting? Or I don't know, but it's spectacular. This is the CHP theme that we found on the website. Now, I know that sounds like we're making this up, but we're not. We're really not. They are the men and women working faithfully, wearing the badge of the CHP.
The badge of trust.
The badge of trust, people.
Badge worn with pride, a sense of honor, truth and justice meets inside. A star of gold upon the chest for all to see.
Okay, I think police officers, CHP, everybody like that, I think they probably have maybe the most stressful jobs in the world.
Oh, yeah.
And are not appreciated, and everybody jumps to the wrong conclusion too quickly about them. But this may be a little too serious. I mean, this song's a little nutty.
Brings a tear to my eye.
I mean, really? You're going to bring a tear to our eye about every single time we think about the CHP?
These guys risk their lives every day, Kevin.
They do, men and women. They wear the badge with honor. They do. But apparently some other people got a little cheesed off, a little people upset. Other local groups say, hey, you're going to play the CHP theme song. We have theme songs. What about playing our theme song?
I didn't know there were other theme songs.
Yep.
It's all about marketing these days. It's all about making people aware of who you are and what it is you do. I mean, that's the secret to success these days is advertising. Look how much K-Rock advertises, for God's sakes. I mean, clearly. Oh, wait. I forgot.
That's we don't advertise at all. All right, so here's the first one. I guess we got three CDs in. These are theme songs for other local groups, and I think it's self-explanatory.
Out in the streets, protecting you, serving Latinos, blacks and whites, even the Jews. Once in a while, we have to beat someone bloody. The men and women of the LAPD.
That's a little surprise, that angle.
Yeah,
I didn't expect that.
It surprises me, too.
Listen, sometimes they do. I mean, they're just being honest.
They're just doing their job.
Right? So that's local group one. Here's another one. Another theme song.
We put you in an endless line to take a simple driver's test or pay a fine. Most of our employees have an IQ of 3. The men and women of the CADMV.
They've got their own. That's nice. I'm glad that everybody seems to be so proud about their organization. I mean, that's probably a healthy sign. And then we got one more, and this is another theme song.
We bring you your mail each day. At least the stuff we haven't lost, destroyed, broken, or thrown away. So take your chances, throw your mail in the abyss. We are the people of the U.S. Post Office.
Isn't that nice?
How dare you?
Something everybody can rally around. That's nice. Now, though, it's time for the showbiz beat. Here is Ralph.
Before I get to the showbiz news, I've got some passes to give away to what looks like a very terrifying movie called The Hitcher. I don't know if you've seen the commercials and trailers for this, but Sean Bean gets picked up by a pair of young lovers, one of which is Sophia Bush, by the way.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And no bell for Sophia Bush?
Oh, yeah.
Beans,
you gotta take that bell away from me.
I agree.
I was just thinking yesterday about a. I was annoyed as you said that because I was thinking about a conversation I had with Lightning yesterday, who had never heard of Sophia Bush, did not know who she was.
He must not watch the One Tree Hill.
Yeah, but still, even I've never seen the show either. But you still know Sophia Bush. She's still one of the hottest women in the world for the last 2 years, right? How do you miss Sophia Bush?
You're aware we're talking about Lightning, right?
For God's sakes, she's got Bush in the name. How does that pass you by? How do you not know that?
Does she drive a monster truck?
I don't believe she does.
Has she been lowered? Does she get her insurance at AIS?
She has spinners?
Well,
then he's not going to.
Then he's probably not aware of her.
Then why would he need to know her? Yeah. But yeah, Sophia Bush in The Hitcher, I'm in. And why can't we have her in on this show? What's up with that?
I want to hear you say four words. I want to die. That's what he asks of his victims.
Yeah, that's creepy.
Then he goes, they asked for it. They wanted to. Anyway, we've got a special K-Rock screening Thursday, January the 18th at the Arclight Theater in Hollywood. Once again, I say this all the time, but the Arclight, maybe my favorite theater in the whole world. Greatest place to see a movie. If you'd like to go, callers 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Callers 5 through 9, 1-800-520-1065. Callers will get a pair of tickets to go see The Hitcher at the special K-Rock screening. Well, it keeps.
It just keeps. It does.
More Rosie O'Donnell news regarding her fight with Donald Trump. Now, apparently, things getting testy behind the scenes at The View. This just released from the New York Post. They claim they have an inside source at the television show that said Rosie O'Donnell confronted Barbara Walters upon returning from her extended holiday vacation, screaming angrily at Barbara Walters, "You kept me in the papers the whole time."
You kept me in the papers the whole time.
Regarding Barbara's comments about the feud between O'Donnell and Trump.
Right.
Barbara said she did everything she could to squash the recent feud and the rumors, and O'Donnell reportedly called her a liar.
And then she said, "Don't be stupid!"
She also complained that Walters never sufficiently said that Trump was lying when he claimed that Barbara regretted hiring O'Donnell.
Look, everyone that comes in contact with Rosie O'Donnell regrets it.
A representative for Walters and O'Donnell and the show said whatever happened in the hair and makeup room was hardly a squabble. It's just business as usual. Everyone has moved on. You notice they're not saying, oh, that never happened.
Right. Yeah. Sure.
Right.
Can you imagine working with her every day?
Oh, God. No.
Can you imagine?
I'd take my life.
You know, even though it has worked out for them in the ratings to
so
a certain
far,
extent, they still have to be really like counting down the days till her year's up and they can let her go again, right?
Rosie O'Donnell is the TO of television.
She is.
Yep.
That's what
exactly.
She is. You bring her in because you need a little help, a little bump, trying to get over that hump, trying to get some ratings. But then you got to work with her every day.
Mm-hmm. And you regret every second of it.
That's right.
Where will T.O. play next year, do you think, Ruff?
I don't know. He was a good soldier after the loss with the Cowboys. I got to tell you, he went out and did his press conference, and he said he felt for Tony Romo, and he was back in his play and said, you know, he's a good guy. And
right.
He didn't throw him under the bus, as I expected him to. Of course.
Yeah. He's
getting the cheddar.
I am back with a vengeance. I'm back on the mission. Got the recipe, bruh, so I'm back in the kitchen. Trying to take me out the game, people saying I'm missing. Got the whole world's undivided attention. It's a brand new year, got a brand new team. I'm a cowboy now, no more black and green. And to the haters who said I wouldn't get my money, I'm laughing in your face. Ha ha, that's funny when it comes.
Ha ha, that's funny. I'm in the locker room, walking through the halls, out on the field. I'm dropping all the balls.
That's more accurate.
Maybe that's why I didn't bash Tony Romo after dropping 1,006 passes this season.
Yeah.
50 Cent wants you to be safe. He's released CDs, vitamin water, clothing, and now 50 Cent has announced he is releasing his own line of condoms. Kids become immune when you constantly beat them over the head. He said you have to be a little more creative about it. It's the same with safe sex. So as part of his safe sex campaign, he's releasing G-Unit wrappers or something. No word on what they're going to be called yet, but 50 Cent's going to release condoms. Because, really, you need a designer condom.
You do.
If you're going to, you know, sip some Hennessy and take a shorty back to your crib. You want to make sure you wear a Jimmy hat, as the kids say. So,
Ralph,
good
you
for
ever
you.
Try the glow-in-the-dark condoms? That was the only intriguing deviation on the standard condom that made sense to me. You
no,
ever try those?
I don't need a lot of tricks when it comes to my condoms. I don't
it just
need
sounded like it might be funny. That's
I think condoms are one of those technologies that is pretty much perfect just the way it is. Don't really need to do much.
I wear black ones. Well, I've always wanted to have a black penis.
Really?
Yeah.
I have tried the spiral though.
The spiral.
How is that?
Made for her pleasure. It's like a it's a rib that goes around all the way around in a spiral around the condom.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, I wouldn't even recommend it. I screwed myself straight to a girl one time.
Get loose?
It was like I had a washer nut or something around my unit, but I couldn't get loose. We had to go to the hospital. They literally had to take her and spin her counterclockwise in order to unscrew her from my unit. So be careful when you got a spiral on your condom. That's what I'm just saying.
That must be what happened on Grey's Anatomy. Same thing. The couple that came in that was stuck together couldn't get loose.
Oh, when's Grey's Anatomy coming back?
I don't know.
Oh.
It might already be back.
Oh, what about Steamy and Dreamy and Creamy? What about all of them?
Ralph, you don't watch the show, but it's
pretty
good. It's pretty good.
If you have a vagina.
DNN says this Thursday night is the return of Grey's Anatomy.
Well, if you're a man, the medical show you watch is House.
Wait, well, I watch House also. Both.
And that returns tonight. It's a double House. You got the 8 o'clock, you got the repeat of the final part of the season last year. And then they come back with a new one where House goes on trial. So you can check that out tonight. I love that show so much. Speaking of which, Dave Matthews, who celebrates his birthday today, has announced that he will be guest starring on House in March. He'll play a prodigy, music prodigy, a piano prodigy, who comes under the care of Dr. House. I had a debate the other day with a friend of mine. Would you or would you not want to be a patient of Dr. House's?
I say yes.
Yeah.
Because
he'll fix you.
He'll figure out what's wrong with you. But it's like working with Rosie O'Donnell. There's a lot to put up with it there in order to get a little reward. You know what I'm saying?
It is.
Sure, he saves your life, but do you really? By that point, you might want to go. Oh, this guy's killing me. Just let me just die. Can't take any more of his smart-ass comments.
It was very funny on Scrubs last week. They were all talking about House and talking about how unrealistic it is because that's just a TV doctor.
Yeah. There's no cameras here, newbie.
That's right.
Pretty terrific. And then, of course, he hurts his leg and he's walking around with a cane and he figures everything out. It's pretty clever. Today is Tuesday, means new DVDs are in stores. Here's what you can pick up. If you haven't seen Crank yet, starring Jason Statham.
So good.
And Amy Smart, one of my favorite movies last year. Just a good time, just 2 hours of just fun.
If you're the adrenaline rush kind of person, that's the movie for you.
It's the whole premise of the movie is adrenaline rushes, actually. The Illusionist is also available on DVD today. Extras. The series that Ricky Gervais did after The Office over there in the UK is available now. Season 1, a 2-disc set.
That's really
in
funny as well.
Tonight. It's great stuff. And SpongeBob SquarePants. Season 4, Volume 2 is available today. Can't get too much SpongeBob, in my opinion.
Make a note.
Jerry O'Donnell, or Jerry O'Connell, depending on who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Jerry O'Connell and Rebecca Romijn would like you to know that they are not married, despite the internet rumors to the contrary. I was talking to Ellen DeGeneres, and he said, it's one of those internet rumors that starts, and the only problem is that your mom finds out about it. Your mom calls up and is like, Jerry, Louise just told me that she read on the internet that you're married. And I want to know if this is true. And I want to know why I don't know about it. And why I have to find out about it on the internet.
Yeah.
So, he had to talk his mom off a ledge.
But not true.
Not true. Okay. Two of them, he insists they're going to get married someday soon, but has not happened yet.
We have long mocked him as an inappropriate mate for Rebecca Romijn, but you had the opportunity to hang out with both of them not too long ago, Ralph, and said that he seems like a straight-up guy.
We've got mutual friends, and I was at a wedding of this couple, and Rebecca and Jerry were there, and he is just the greatest guy on the planet.
I don't want to believe that.
I know. I didn't want to either, but it was staring me right there in the face. What can I do?
Because I don't think anyone is good enough for little Rebecca.
Not that little, by the way.
Yeah.
She's a tall,
she is, drink of water,
willowy, Amazonian type broad.
She's
got a lot to her. Today's celebrity birthday is Jimmy Page, legendary guitarist for Led Zeppelin, 63 years old today. David Johansen, also known as Buster Poindexter, and also known as the lead singer for the New York Dolls, who are currently reunited. He's 57 years old today. And as I mentioned, Dave Matthews, who will be on House in March, is 40 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Time for your phone calls. Kevin Amin's What to Do Nephew at 1-800-520-1067. You get on the air, you get a prize.
And today it's your choice of two great prizes. It's a pair of tickets to the Monster Jam on January 13th at Angel Stadium of Anaheim. I'm sure lightning had something to do with getting us those tickets. Or a pair of lift tickets to join K-Rock this weekend up at Snow Summit. 90% of Snow Summit is now open, it says here. To do what? To picnic?
To run down the hill?
To sit in the grass? I mean, to do what? It's 85 degrees outside.
To picnic, yes.
All right. Well, so your choice, 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Bobby in Fullerton? Yesterday at this time, we found out about the fantastic California Highway Patrol theme song, which is found on their website, and listeners just can't stop talking about it.
All right, Bobby, good morning. What does it do?
What do you do, nephew?
No.
I'm sorry, Lisa.
No.
That's it.
The
other day, thank you for participating in the Kevin and Bean Show. Your call is important to us. Unfortunately, your phone sucks. If you truly need to prove how happening you are by flashing your groovy cell phone, do us all a favor. Stay out of freaking Radio Shack. Splurge! Shoot the extra couple of bucks and pick yourself up a phone that when you use it, people can, oh, I don't know, actually hear you. But thank you for attempting to call the Kevin and Bean Show on your really crappy phone.
Too bad, too, because he was saying he was teasing the CHP with their theme song.
Oh.
He got pulled over. All right, let's go to Shayna in Chatsworth. Good morning, Shayna. What it do, baby boo?
What it do, baby boo?
What's going on?
Well, I work at a dry cleaners, and you can understand, you know, I get some pretty weird stuff. And sure. One of my customers came in, and she said that she was selling Tori Spelling's clothes on eBay, and we had to clean them.
Selling?
Yeah, we heard that Tori Spelling
had a garage sale.
That.
Had a big yard sale.
Yeah.
Tori did.
Oh, I see. So it was somebody that was working with or for Tori?
Yes.
Okay.
And let's just say she does not wear underwear.
Oh, really?
No.
Shayna.
What?
Really?
Yes.
No kidding.
And you could tell, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Was it difficult or impossible to get out?
On one dress, yes.
Oh,
all right, let me see if I can ask this question delicately.
The hole had been eaten through the fabric. That was the problem.
Oh, Shayna, the answer is no.
Was the problem in the front or in the back of the dress?
Well, the back, because she was probably sitting down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but. Okay. All right.
I have so many more questions, but I think we should probably move on.
Yeah.
That's a good call, though. Thank you, Shayna, for the call. Let's go to Steve in Manhattan Beach. He knows how to live. Steve, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What do you do, nephew?
Well, what do you do, nephew?
What do you do, nephew?
What do you do? What's going on, Steve?
I'm going tomorrow night. I got a flyer on my girlfriend's car. She thought it was a joke, and it's Steven Seagal.
Yes.
No joke, my friend.
His band, right? You're going to see his band.
It's going to be monumental.
Oh, he's so bad.
Has anyone ever heard it?
That's going to be a great time.
I have. I've heard some of his music. It's awful.
Is it?
Yeah. I have some friends that are going, too, and we're going to make sure that the crowd is hostile.
Excellent.
Dude, he will kung fu your ass. Do not screw with him.
He will kick your head off.
This is the 705 Club, I guess it is, in Hermosa Beach. I went on the Steven Seagal website this morning, and he's playing. He's got a world tour going on. He's got dates sold out in places like Ireland. I guess it's a curiosity factor. It can't be because they like his music, right?
No, it can't be. And you went on his website this morning?
Dude, back
well,
away
when
from
I,
the
when I heard of, when I heard about the show, yeah.
It's mayor.
It really is time for you to turn off your computer just for a little.
Just take a walk.
Give it a tiny break.
You're down to the Steven Seagal website. You officially have issues.
Because we got the tip that he was going to be playing at Hermosa Beach, and I thought that information would be helpful on this show. That's all.
Yeah. We'll stop it. All right, let's go to Jose in Costa Mesa. Good morning, Jose.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Luscious Lisa, how you doing?
Good, Jose. What's going on?
Calling regards towards yesterday's topic when you guys were reviewing some movies. Well, I'm hooked on this one series called Screw My Wife, Please.
Sure.
I don't know if you guys have heard those. Oh. I think they also have a husband one, too.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, and I think they're the greatest thing, and they're much better than the regular stuff. Well, I was telling a friend about this, about these movies, and he tells me that they're fake, that the couples aren't real couples. And
the hell you say?
I know. I'm devastated right now.
Because usually you count on adult films to really reflect reality.
You know, I really feel like I can't shake hands with Ben Franklin right now.
Wait a minute. They're not hiring actors and actresses now, are they, to play those roles?
No. Well, I guess what it is, it's just like a couple. You know, the dude wants to see his lady get racked.
I think we understand the concept.
The premise, pretty much the title, Screw My Wife, Please, I think gives us all we need to know.
You
know,
wait, hold on.
Expand on that theme.
Ralph, you're the expert here. You mean they're not real doctors or mechanics or pizza delivery guys? They're just actors playing those roles?
A lot of cases, the reality of adult entertainment is vastly exaggerated.
I'm shaken to my very foundations. Yeah. That's bad.
Even the so-called pro-am or amateur tapes, you'll find. You know, the guy pulls up in a bus and goes, hey, we're shooting a bikini layout. Why don't you come in? Then she gets in the back of the van. He's like, for $500, you know, let's screw you. And she's like, oh, okay, that'll be fun. Yeah, that's all.
Sorry. What? Are you kidding me?
You can give up on the Bang Bus.
And
the MILF Hunters. The MILF Hunters series. They're really not picking up soccer moms and taking them back to the apartment.
Yes, they are. Sorry. They are.
This is just not happening.
And I guess there's no Santa Claus, Ralph. Sky in Huntington Beach. Good morning.
Hey, what'd it do?
What'd it do, nephew?
Santa's in your up your chimney line of adult films, by the way.
Yes, Sky.
A while back you guys were telling stories about people getting in trouble for giving cops weed.
For giving cops weed?
Yeah, and food service jobs.
Right.
Well, when I worked at a coffee house out here in Orange County, me and my buddy were shrooming on the job and wound up making shroom tea for some cops and giving it to them. We just filtered it through coffee filters, and when they came through every night, the CHP got a little extra something in their coffee.
There's like 8 people in jail right now that are going, what did we do? I really don't know what we did. Just because of Sky.
By the time the cops left, they were like, see you later, guys, laughing it up.
Dude.
All right, thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
He's shrooming now.
He is, no question.
We should also mention, don't do that, by the way, right?
Don't do that, right.
Yeah, don't do that.
Of course. All right, let's go to Andrew in Studio City. Good morning, Andrew. Welcome to the Kevin and Beach Show.
What it do, nephew?
Okay, so I've searched high and low, and I finally found country that you, Kevin and Bean, can be kings of.
We can be kings of a country.
Yes, it's okay. Sealand.
Sealand.
Sealand. It has its own flag, stamps, currency, and passports.
C as in S-E-A?
S-E-A, Sealand. It's 7 miles off the coast of England.
I saw this on the news yesterday, and it's in the news because it's being sold, right? The family that owns it is unloading it, right?
Yeah. You can buy it. It hasn't been sold yet. It doesn't say how much for, but it's actually only 2 towers. It's not even a land.
But it's its own country. It's not run by England.
Yeah, it's its own country. Its own, yeah.
Yeah, from what I understand from the description that I saw, you're absolutely right. It's really like a platform between some oil derricks just outside the, you know, international water line from England, right?
Yeah, it's only 2 towers, but like I said, it has a flag, stamp, currency. It has a national anthem.
No, it doesn't. Sealand does not have a national anthem.
It does, I promise.
Can you sing some of it for me?
No, I don't know it. I haven't learned it yet.
Okay.
But Kevin and Bean are already rulers of Aholistan, so how can they take on a second country now?
Thank you for the call, Andrew, for keeping an eye out for countries we can buy.
It doesn't sound like much of a country to me, to tell you the truth.
No,
it's just a platform is all it is.
I agree.
All right, are we done? Are we take another one? Is that it?
Nah.
Let's abandon this.
These others leave this reviewer cold? Is that what you're saying?
ECS Championship game was a blowout. Yeah.
Yeah, we know.
No kidding?
Yeah.
Got that. Okay.
It's time for Tammy Heidi, isn't it? Isn't it time for Tammy to come in? Let's get out of here.
Actually, she's off today. I think Kat Corbett's filling in for Tammy. I want to thank all of our many, many, many guests on the Kevin and Bean Show today. And by many, many guests, I mean Nancy Leader from Zeta Talk. Go to ZetaTalk.com to find out how the world is going to end. It sounded to me like this year. I mean, it sounds like we're getting very, very close to that pole shift she's always talking about.
She is a piece of ass. By the way, speaking of pole shifts, Lisa May is taking pole dancing classes.
Yeah.
So we're going to need to talk about that on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean.
Who knew everything that every move you make, you can do in a very sexy way? I had no idea. Even falling down. They show you how to fall down and get up in a sexy way.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is good for me.
How about that?
The booty. The booty. Lisa May's got booty. The booty. The booty.
Also, on tomorrow morning show, we got to start the countdown to Stomp the Yard, because that may be the best movie ever. Who's with me on that? Seriously.
I'm with you.
Stomp the Yard.
I saw the trailers. I was so excited.
Yeah. It's You Got Served for this year.
Absolutely.
And boy, it looks bad good. Can't wait for that.
Great.
Tomorrow, the Wheel of Racial Stereotypes.
Been a while.
I don't know if I mentioned this or not, but Lisa May's taking pole dancing classes.
I think, where are my penises?
That's tomorrow. And also, people are now in Iraq. They are now seeing the ghost of Saddam Hussein.
Oh, really?
They just won't let him go.
He's haunting them.
That's scary.
So we're going to deal with that tomorrow morning. There are theaters in Japan that now show movies in smell-o-vision. They add actual smells, fragrances to movies. Mm-hmm.
Didn't they try that here once?
Yeah, I mean, this is not a new idea. It's been around for decades, but rarely has it kind of gained mass acceptance. And it seems like this latest round, and I don't know whether it's the technology, it's made it more feasible or more cost-effective or something like that. It seems like it may be catching on over there right now.
Wow.
So that'd be pretty damn cool. Let's see here. And also, we have Lisa May in a pole dancing class. I don't think I mentioned that yet.
Hey, Calvin Dean and Lisa May, I'm frosted in you. What's happening?
So that's all coming up tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Fantastic. Cat Corbin next with that 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. New music from The Killers is called Read My Mind. Also some Green Day, Incubus, Fallout Boy, My Chemical Romance, and I mentioned them, and so much more right after this on the world famous K-Rock.
Oh, and Lisa May is taking a pole dancing class. That too.